It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Joe Manchin sucks. Here we go, off and running on this, the final day of September 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe around. Hi, I'm Robin, and we have we've got a little thorn in the front porch Thursday action going on today because, as I have announced previously, I don't know if I'll be on the air tomorrow because I have an appointment at 10 o'clock in the morning at Marshall University tomorrow. That's in Huntington. That's a rock solid 2.5 hours or so away from here. And with that in mind, I don't know how long the appointment's going to last, and I don't know how long it's going to take me to get back. So that's why. But anyway, we will have a merry time of it this evening. If you'd like to be part of the Front Porch group, just use the button at headon.live, and it will carry you over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And in about an hour's time, we will, I'll wander over there myself, and we'll get to the conversation going that we usually save for the end of the week. But as noted, this may be the end of the week if I'm not back tomorrow. I sure want to be back tomorrow, though. By the way, you may have noted that I said Joe Manchin sucks. And he does. He just sucks so much. But we will get to that. We will get to that in good time. And the third switch is thrown. We had a little problem connecting to HeadOn.live, but that's groovy now. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. I do appreciate you so very much and all that you do to make HeadOn.live the thing that it is. And, yes, the Skype link is up at HeadOn.live, which means you can just go over there, push the button, and you'll be part of the conversation group in no time flat, okay? Now, that having been said, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. This being the 30th day of September, we don't really have subscribers to thank for this day, because there aren't any, because we learned a long time ago that with Skype subscriptions, yeah, I did give the date. It's the 30th day of September. That's the third time I've given the date. Dadgum it. But we learned that with Skype subscriptions, because of the nature of February, all of our 29th and 30th day of the month subscribers get rolled onto the 28th, or at least usually. I think there's a Ouija board involved anyway. But thank you, one and all, for being subscribers, and particularly on the final broadcast day of the month, we thank our Patreon subscribers by name and in person. So thank you. Thank you so very kindly, Ben. Benjamin, thank you to Dave and the Blind. Thank you, Janice. Thank you to David in San Diego. Thank you to Eve. And thank you to our dear, dear friend Rico in the autumnal burg. And thank you to Katie. And thank you, Steve and Nancy. Thank you to Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Thank you, Bernadette, she of Pre's Trees and the alleviation of so much pain. Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you to Irwin in Montana. Thank you to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you, Ed. And thank you, Oak. Thank you to Dave, number 11. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Michael of the Guffins. Thank you, Balmer Bob. Thank you, Jeff in Slow. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Lori. And thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Kat. And thank you to Marty. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you to Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you to Barbara. Thank you to the Nubian. Thank you to KW. Thanks again to Irwin. Thank you to Barb. Thank you to Horst in Taiwan. Thank you, Robin. Different Robin. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you, Fab. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you, each and every one, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep liberal, independent, progressive broadcasting on the air for low these many, many, many years. Now, where do we find ourselves? It's not necessarily a fuck Joe Manchin challenge, fuck Joe Manchin, really. The homepage is showing as 10-9-2021. What? It's not. It is the 30th day of September 2021. This program is in fact live. And we'll see where it takes us here in a moment, but I did want to share that we have a whopping big task ahead of us to finish the month of September. It's a big one. Around $800 to get finished with this day and this month and be okay. So there is, I should note, there is a challenge. Courtesy of Ralph's, a $25 challenge to get us off and running and started. Thank you so much, Ralphs, for all you do to help keep things going. Thank you so very much. And you are a dear friend, and not just in your support, but in your ceaseless horn ad hoc research department activities. And you are appreciated. You are appreciated indeed. So there's a $25 challenge, courtesy of Ralph's. And that'll get us down below the $800 mark and cross our fingers and get started. And by the way, there's another challenge out there, the $50 Green Monster Challenge. You'll find out why in just a moment. Joey writes, the holy grail of baseball. Jeffrey's back home now, but anxiously awaits his first Harvard Business School class via Skype. Dean Ivy Mecton, Dean Wormer, wanted to know why Jeffrey called him by those two names, and Jeffrey told the good dean, I refer to Dean Ivy as Dean Wormer because the dean suggested that my remaining on campus would have created an animal house type of atmosphere. I then informed the dean that the handling of this matter has created much animus in the house. I then apologized and walked out, but not before lifting my tail and dumping in his Harvard yard. My wife and I, Joey writes, attended the aforementioned Sunday night Boston Red Sox-New York Yankees game. I consider this the greatest rivalry in the history of sports, which goes all the way back over 100 years ago, when the Boston Red Sox traded the greatest baseball player in the history of the game to the New York Yankees, Babe Ruth. The Red Sox never seemed to really, well, he was the greatest baseball player in the history of the game at that time, let's be clear. The Red Sox, he has since been rather roundly and soundly surpassed. The Red Sox never seemed to really recover, as it would take them 86 years to win a World Series. Meanwhile, the Yankees in that time span would go on to win 26 World Series from 1918 to 2004. Ironically, on this date back in 1934, the Babe played his last American League game, and that took place at the Holy Grail of baseball fields, Fenway Park. There were an estimated 15,000 Yankee fans at the game Sunday, and that made for a collegiate-type atmosphere and a very entertaining time, as both fans taunted each other all night long. There was only one fight that I could see, and I had to pull my wife off some obnoxious Yankee fan who wouldn't shut up. There were 36,000 fans in attendance at Fenway, and somebody else who was there was a retiring umpire with 45 years of experience. Yes, none other than the guy they call Country Joe West. Robin and Steve in New York will certainly know of umpire Joe West because he spent the first 20 years of his career exclusively umpiring in the National League and umpired numerous Reds games. Reds announcer Marty Brenneman loved Country Joe West and often made mention of the fact that West performed in Nashville at the Grand Ole Opry. By all accounts, Joe West was a great guy, but not a great umpire. Full disclosure, obviously, I am no fan of Joe West, who should have retired 20 years ago and has overstayed his welcome as a Major League ump. On the other hand, I've become a big fan of the umpires and have met a few of them in my 50 years of following baseball, with the most memorable meeting being with Jerry Crawford in St. Louis in 1991. Crawford's father, Shag, was an umpire, and his brother, Joey, was an NBA referee, junior officiating.
Joey just loved speaking with Jerry Crawford about his officious family and the umpire empire that was the Crawfords.
Umpire empire. Such a clever little giraffe. Yes, indeed. No, I never cared for Joe West when he umpired his last game behind home plate this past Sunday, and the reason I never cared for West pertains to exactly what happened during Sunday's game. West was a bully of an umpire who never thought he was wrong and sometimes influenced the outcome of games. Sunday night was no different. Red Sox were up 3-2 in late innings, and the Yankees had one of their best hitters, Aaron Judge, at the plate with two men on base. Boston's pitcher, Adam Ottavino, managed to strike out Judge after a long battle with the judge. Finally, Ottavino won the battle as Judge swung and tipped the ball into the catcher's mitt, and the catcher clearly hung on and had control of the ball. Judge was clearly struck out. That was until Joe West got involved and screwed up the call and changed the entire complexion of the game. After the catcher, Christian Vasquez, clearly caught and controlled the ball, he then went to grab the ball out of his glove to throw it down to third base in an attempt to pick off the runner at third. Jeffrey did not attend because he does not like the Green Monster, but he texted me from the hotel and told me that the replay clearly showed the catcher had caught the ball and only dropped the ball during the transfer. Jeffrey told me that the play was not reviewable with instant replay, but all West would have had to do is request some assistance by pointing down to first base umpire Bruce Dreckman, who's a dead ringer for Kevin James of King of Queens fame. Remember, I, Joey, know the umpires. You could see... Joey is a knowledgeable fella. You could see Dreckman was watching intently, just waiting to make a call on the play, but out of respect for West, Dreckman just stood stoically down the first baseline. At this point, the game went south because of Joe West's egomaniacal bullying bullshit. West ruled that the catcher did not catch the ball, and Judge's bat continued. Junior, meanwhile, has a ruling.
Usually the judge grants a continuance, but in this case, the judge received a continuance.
Judge went on to hit a booming double, which scored two runs and gave the Yankees a lead they would never relinquish. The next batter to the plate was Giancarlo Stanton, the hottest hitter in baseball since August 1st. And just as he did the night before, Stanton launched a long home run over the Green Monster. And suddenly it was 6-3 in favor of the Yankees. Had West made the proper call on Judge, that would have been the second out of the inning, and Ottavino could have walked the hottest hitter in baseball, Stanton, and conceivably gotten out of the inning unscathed. But thanks to Joe West's blown call, and after 45 years of his inability to be humble and demure to a 25-year veteran, Bruce Dreckman, the entire tenor of that game last Sunday was changed by an umpire, something that should not happen in sports. Jeffrey, meanwhile, breaking out the rules.
Along the same lines of things that should not happen, Joe West is a metaphor for the Supreme Court. Umpires should just call balls and strikes and not change the complexion of outcomes of games. This also applies to the courts, and ironically, the man who has named himself the Balls and Strikes Justice, Supreme Court Judge Justice John Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, is allowing his court to change the complexion of the law and this country. All of these federal and state judges should not be making rulings that change the law, but just rule according to the law so this country does not go south. Yes, south.
Oh, mercy sakes. One second. Jeffrey says,
I did not attend either of the games at Fenway, although it is true that I like tall objects. I do not like the greens or monsters.
Jeffrey means the American greens, not the actual people who like to participate in governance in other countries.
At this juncture, when one uses the term green monster, I think of Kirsten Kurtze Enema. Cinema.
Yes, I had a request earlier today, as a matter of fact, from our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor, who asked, and she's headed home to Michigan. I'm on my way back to Detroit. Can we please make Kirsten enema a thing? Thanks, hugs. It's a thing now. Joey anticipated you. Kirsten curtsy enema, and how she's hurting this country right now. Sinema touts herself as a proud bisexual, and that's a good description of her, considering she is screwing both parties, including Republicans and the entire country all at once. Republicans are... I'm not so sure how I feel about that. Let's leave sexuality out of this. Republicans are so too stupid to realize the ravages of not raising the debt ceiling and what this could do to their 401k and retirement packages, among other things. Republicans are too fucking stupid to know when they're being screwed. As far as I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, am concerned, Sinema was once a member of the Green Party, and she still has the Green Party mentality, and she's behaving like a monster with all her non-compliant bullshit. And considering I do not like the Green Party or monsters, and the fact that Sinema is behaving like a green monster, I chose to stay away from Fenway. So this has been Joey's Journal for prayer meeting the Wednesday. This is actually Thursday, but the 29th of September, with Giraffe still watching out for the snakes in the grass, because the grass is full of... greens. Yep, that's how it plays. And there's a $50 Green Monster Challenge on the table. That means there's $75 worth of challenges. And if it's met, we'll get down to $650 to go to finish the month. And so, by the way, if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Multimedia Extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room, run on by right this very instant. You'll be greeted by early arrivers, not so early now, here about 20 minutes into the program. But you'll be greeted by Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who seems to be in a space folding mood, being the third stage guild navigator that he is, and has folded space to become Man Cave. Yay. And I had a story from Steve from Georgistan, an all-around great guy and a pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator, Brother Bishop Steve. He said the reason I wasn't there for prayer meeting Wednesday was I was at the damn dentist and did not get home until 7 p.m. yesterday. Tooth number 14 blew up back in early July. Oh, God. Nearly 3 months later, 3 dental visits later, 4 counting the schlep to the endodontist, and I'm 3K lighter and the damn thing's finally fixed. There has to be a better way. And that's, and just another example, because we were talking about it a little bit last night, another example of why insurance sucks so much. Steve pointing out, I have dental insurance. If I didn't, that $3,000 I spent on one tooth would have been $6,000. For one tooth. Seriously? Well, you know, dentists have kids to put through, you know, dental school and buy them rare electric guitars and fabulous Leica cameras and the lot. You can't do that not billing $6,000 a tooth. Jesus. Yeah. Sorry to hear about that, Steve. Truly, I am. And further correspondence getting us going. The subject line harkens back to something I said toward the beginning of the program. Fuck Joe Manchin. Ron in Raleigh says, this preening, self-aggrandizing jagoff, really, you're being far too kind, Ron, is holding the entire country hostage to his desire to set the agenda to enrich himself and bend the country to his will. The latest thing is that he's insisting that the Hyde Amendment be included in the reconciliation bill. I don't remember Joe Manchin's name being on the ballot when I voted for president. Either we win enough seats in 2022 to make his ass irrelevant, or the Republicans win back the House and the Senate. Whichever way it goes, we won't have to listen to his disingenuous lip flapping again, and that's fine with me. I'm tired of eating dirt and running rabbits, because they're getting quicker all the time. And that's a fact. I mean, oh, for fuck's sake, it's ridiculous. Because he has declared, for all intents and purposes, declared himself the Queen of the May. And it's intensely frustrating. He got shitty again. He's got this thing where he likes to get shitty from time to time and you know, put reporters, in those damn reporters, in their place. Right? Yeah. So that was a thing that went on. When reporters were able to ask questions. It was earlier today, via the recount, that they tweeted this little snippet of audio.
I've never been a liberal in any way, shape, or the form. There's no one has ever thought I was. I've been governor, I've been state secretary of state, I've been state legislature, I've been...
Where's the part? Where's the I've been a coal broker part?
And a U.S. senator, and...
I've dummied up an advanced degree for my daughter so that she could have a cushy job with my pal, Mylan Puskar of Mylan Pharmaceuticals. Wait, I'm guessing that's somehow not going to make the list. Right? No? Not really, Joe? Yeah. Who gives a fuck if you call yourself a liberal? Really? And how liberal is it to do the things that we're talking about in the reconciliation bill, i.e. pay Donald Trump's Congress's goddamn debts? Really?
I've been a U.S. senator, and I have voted pretty consistently all my whole life. I don't fault any of them who believe that they're much more progressive and much more liberal. God bless them. And all they need to do is we have to elect more, I guess, for them to get theirs, elect more liberals.
Yes! Yes! I have a feeling somewhere Stephen Smith of West Virginia Can't Wait is saying, And he might actually prove to be a competent challenger to Joe Manchin in a primary. Although, I don't know. Some of these groups may put up someone else, and that's okay, whatevs. But a reminder, let's see, Stephen Smith, just so you know, who is Stephen Smith? Well, we ran a clip from him the other day. He was on Jonathan Capehart's The Sunday Show on MSNBC, and he made a credible case for why Joe Manchin does not, in fact, represent workaday, everyday West Virginians. Because he doesn't. And he ran for in the Democratic primary for governor a couple of years ago. And he lost to a candidate backed by Joe Manchin. Okay. That Democratic nominee then went on to have his ass handed to him by Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. In no way, shape, form, or fashion do I want anybody thinking I'm some goddamn liberal. Me and Joe Manchin is buddies, and we ain't liberals. Right. So, supposedly, he is Stephen Smith is the odds-on favorite to run in the primary against Joe Manchin. And good luck to him. If he does, I will vote for him. Because this situation has become intolerable. I know the rest of the country despises Joe Manchin. Welcome to the party. Despising Joe Manchin is something that I would dare say a majority of West Virginia Democrats have been doing for a really long time. And then he wins his primary, and the Republican Party helps him out by putting up somebody who makes Genghis Khan look like Bernie Sanders, and you're left in November with a choice between awful and awfuler. A number of occasions, I have left that ballot position blank in November. But that's where we are. And it's a rigged game here in West Virginia. because the Democratic Party of West Virginia, of which I have been a part for a generation or so now, has become, since the early 2000s, a cult of personality for Joe Manchin. That's why we've lost all of our other statewide Democratic office holders, because Joe Manchin does not give a flying fuck at a rolling donut about anyone but, you guessed it, Joe Manchin. And so he declared that he won't support the $3.5 trillion social program legislation that's Build Back Better. You know, a piece of legislation that seeks to actually do right by the people that Joe Manchin just doesn't think much of. And so remember, $1.5 trillion is, on a 10-year bill, is actually $350 billion a year, which in a country of this size and of this wealth is pretty much chump change. But no, Joe now says that that he won't support more than $1.5 trillion, and what that represents is a bill that has all the decency stripped out of it. Asshole. Giant screaming asshole. Sorry, that's not terribly erudite, but sometimes simple statements are the most accurate ones. And I just wish some of those young folks, because there's not a lot of a lot of gray-headed, pointy-headed intellectual reporters in the gaggles around him, pointing their little modern pocket computer devices at him to record him. There's not a lot of elders in there, so there's not a lot of people there who can just say, "Yeah, but what about?" Oh, the hubris. Oh, the disgusting degree of smarmy, self-serving. Oh, by the way, you remember the story a couple of months ago about the guy who bragged that he was in Joe Manchin's office as a lobbyist for Exxon, and that Joe Manchin listened to him and listened to the oil industry and did their bidding like some sort of little marionette fucking puppet? Remember that guy? Dude is out of a job now. I mean, I don't think he's been reduced to rice and beans, but he is. He was a lobbyist for the fossil fuel industry, and I guess he's taken his career in a different direction. Yeah, don't get caught outing Joe Manchin, because bad shit will happen. And so, as nauseating as it is to Ron and Raleigh, those two actually agree. We either take enough seats in 2022 to make his ass irrelevant, or Republicans win back the House and Senate. And either way, we don't have to listen to his disingenuous lip flapping again. And God, Ron, if you think you're sick of it, not comparing. It's not a competition. But this is all kinds of sickening. Honest to God, it is. And so, this business of insisting on the Hyde Amendment. You know, that's the one that says no federal funds can be used for abortions, because, well, we'd rather see women with problem pregnancies that are life-threatening and don't have money to do it themselves. We'd rather see them die in childbirth than use federal funds to relieve them of a pregnancy that could kill them. That's the Hyde Amendment. That's the motherfucking Hyde Amendment. That's what the Hyde Amendment is. But again, a little masterclass on Joe Manchinism. back when he was just a little shitbird pissant state senator, Joe Manchin never missed a bean dinner or spaghetti supper or ramp cooking if it was hosted by one of these organizations that are connected to the multi-billion dollar, you think I'm going to say coal, don't you? No, the multi-billion dollar fetus fetish industry. Yeah. Oh, he was there every time. I mean, if they were passing out brown beans on a styrofoam plate and a little styrofoam cup of Kool-Aid, Joe was there, and Joe loved him some precious little fetuses because Catholic. You won't catch anybody out there running around saying, you know what, we need to deny the magic cracker to Joe Manchin. Because Joe Manchin despises women. It was, I guess, what, February of this year when I was on MSNBC? And that was the point I made at the end. Joe Manchin has a woman problem. And this is a clear manifestation of it, this Hyde Amendment horseshit. You know, he went on and said, well, I'm hopeful that common ground can be found that would result in another historic investment in our nation. I cannot and will not support trillions in spending or an all-or-nothing approach that ignores the brutal fiscal reality our nation faces. That was last night. I want to pass on a better America to the next generation. Of course, I mentioned MSNBC because the program I appeared on was my friend Chris Hayes, and tweeting all caps, which is not exactly, well, I mean, Chris gets wrought, and he said, there is no brutal fiscal reality the nation faces. It is entirely made up. And it is. We're bankrupting our grandchildren. Bullshit! And frankly, this just points up a conspicuous fact. And that is, Joe's not very smart. What Joe primarily knows how to do is do what he is told by people who sign checks, who fill in the blank that says, pay to the order of re-elect Joe Manchin campaign. Really. And most of those are not little $1, $2, $3 contributions. And you know what? Just so you know, I get a lot of political, you know, friend, can you spare $3? I get a lot of those kind of campaign fundraising pitches. I don't recall ever seeing one from Joe Manchin. In point of fact, I don't recall ever seeing a fundraising email from Joe Manchin. You know why? He doesn't need my little hillbilly-ass $3 small donor contribution. You know, in modern American politics, the received wisdom is that that's the way to really, really bring in the gravy. $3 at a time, $5 at a time, $16 at a time. I don't recall seeing Joe Manchin do that. It's possible he has. I can't imagine I would not be on that email list as a registered Democrat. But I do not recall ever seeing such a thing. And so, I don't know, maybe I'll have to, I've done it once before, couldn't find any. And, well, when Chris Hayes said what he said, a guy by the name of David Atkins, a researcher and writer, sort of said the same thing. Needless to say, our country does not face a brutal fiscal reality. Our debt-to-gross domestic product ratio is well within reasonable limits. It is fiscally prudent to make good investments in the nation's future, and any potential inflation can be handled by taxing the obscenely wealthy. Remember what I mentioned last night? Asking a billionaire to pay an extra $1 million in taxes is the comparative ratio equivalent of asking somebody who makes $100,000 a year to give an extra $100. If that doesn't bring home what we mean when we say tax the rich, and if that does not bring home the fact that it is anything but confiscatory taxation, you know, the tax rates are already obscenely low. You know, bring back those Republican tax rates under Eisenhower. You've heard that before, right? Yeah. God. And there sits Joe. No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm going to kind of halfway do that again. There sits Joe Manchin at the head of the Senate Natural Resources Committee, where he really doesn't care if the whole goddamn planet burns to ashes. And the reason he's there is because Bernie Sanders wanted to be the chair of the Senate Budget Committee. And I'm not faulting Bernie's vision or philosophy as chair of that committee. But I'm wondering if Bernie, who would have been chair of Senate Natural Resources and could have actually done something about climate change, I wonder if Bernie was taking into account the fact that Joe Manchin would wind up being king of the queen of the Senate. I wonder if he's taking that into account, or if he took that into account. Because all of Bernie's hopes and dreams, with which I align, for the future of this country, are dust in the wind. As it turns out, coal dust. Yeah. Because Joe Manchin, never mind who's the chair of the Senate Budget Committee, Joe Manchin determines what happens in the Senate of the United States of America. Someday we won't have Joe Manchin to kick around anymore. And I look forward to that day. One of these days, West Virginians will probably replace Joe Manchin, like I said, with a guy who makes Genghis Khan look like Bernie Sanders. And that'll be all right as long as the rest of the country does its damn job. And that is anything but a settled question. Oh, no. Oh, no. So, there's a little bit more to that. I'm trying to find the story now. There it is. Yeah. When we talk about the rest of the country doing the right thing, and I say that it is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a done deal, I mean, consider what needs to happen in 2022. Marco Rubio got to go. So that means that people in Florida are going to have to wise up and get rid of his little Bible-quoting hypocritical ass. Among other things, we need people in North Carolina to get it right if they can actually vote and replace the retiring shitbird in that state. We need people in Ohio to actually have the common sense that God gave a, thank you, Mike Malloy, gently stewed stalk of rhubarb and not elect J.D. fucking Vance, or whichever idiot the Republicans nominate, in Rob Portman's seat. We need to hang on to Reverend Raphael Warnock. We need to hang on to Senator Mark Kelly in Arizona. We need Kentucky Stanians to understand that Rand Paul, Dare Furry, and that thing on his head is no benefit to them. Kind of need voters in, of all places, Talabama. To wake up and smell the grits and not let some Republican goob, whether it be Mo Brooks, Les Brames, or one of those two women who just love Alabama and never voted for a Republican. No, I ain't never. We need voters in Alabama to actually want better. And all of these things presuppose that the Democrats and the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee will get shit right. And we got to hang on to all of our seats, too, that are up. Oh, God. So that's a tall order. Now, add into this mix, consider, if you will, a country. There's a new study out from the Center for Politics at Ron and Raleigh's dear old alma mater, the University of Virginia. And the Center for Politics is a nonpartisan organization. Sometimes that means, maybe that they engage in both siderism, but we're not gonna enter that fray right now. But they got a new report out. This is Larry Sabato's organization. You may see him from time to time on various news shows. He's a political analyst. He does Sabato's Crystal Ball. He directs the Center for Politics. And he said that based on a new study that the center has performed, this chilling fact. A majority of Trump voters nationwide believe, and there's that most dangerous of words in the English language, believe, that we need to cleave the United States of America in twain and not mark. No. Trump and Biden voters are at a crisis stage, the report says. Both camps are filled with fear and distrust. Many Trump and Biden voters believe the deck is stacked against them and their commitment to democracy is wavering. Oh, look, got some both-siderism after all, didn't we? But it's kind of grounded in an unpleasant reality. Now, the whole thing comes with charts and graphs and everything. Oddly enough, there are places where the maggots and the decent people agree. Both sides think we need to improve the electric grid. Both sides want clean water that remains clean and remains accessible. Both sides would like to have roads that are not more pothole than road. Both sides would like to have meaningful rail transportation. Both sides would not like to be crossing a bridge when it falls into a fucking chasm. And here's a fun one. Both sides would like to make those billionaires pay that extra $1 million. Yeah. about that. The breakouts are pretty stunning. Roads and bridges investment, 92% of Biden voters agree. 64% agree strongly. MAGAs agree to the tune of 86%, with 45% agreeing strongly. 92% of Biden voters want to increase taxes on people who make more than 400 grand a year. 68% of those people agree strongly. 55% of MAGAs agree with that. Only 26% agree strongly. You have to figure that they may have got lost in the questioning. But what? Agree strongly? Ain't no string. What? Agree strangely. Fuck, I ain't strange either. I make America great again. Ain't nothing strange about that. But it's that top line takeaway that a majority of Trump voters want to cleave this nation in two. That proves my long-held sentiment that is actually pre-Trump. Notice how this thing breaks things down into Biden voters versus Trump voters. It's almost as though they were afraid to say Democrats versus Republicans. But this gives me the chills. This creeps me the fuck out. Because it turns out that what I've long said is true. The Republican Party is nothing but a bunch of secessionist Confederates. Forget hail! Right? Now, the other side of that equation, and it's not so well explained, is that 4 in 10 Biden voters, people nominally referred to as Democrats, 4 in 10 Biden voters say that it is time to create two countries. I don't think those are identical sentiments. Why? Well, because the MAGAs want to have a country that's not so goddamn liberal. All these women out there aborting their fetuses and then eating them and shit and letting the wrong coloreds vote if they want to vote in their city. I mean, the nerve! Letting little kids pick out what gender they is. Letting people read stories in school libraries about seahorse sexy time. Those idiot fucks want their own country just the way their great-great-great grandpappies and grandmammies did. I mean, why do we need that 13th Amendment anyway? Right? I would dare posit, however, that the motivating sense on the other side is not that. Because I this is strictly anecdotal, I freely acknowledge. I've heard people say on this program, cut them loose. They want to be such assholes, they don't want to live in a free country. Let them be their own. Fuck them. South Carolina couldn't feed itself if it fucking well had to. Neither could Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Stan. None of them could. Because there is not a single MAGAT Confederate state that is a net giver of tax dollars to the United States government. They are all net takers. Lord knows what the ratio is for a place like West Virginia. What? We pay $1 for every 9 that we get from the federal government, and that 9 comes from places with decent people in it, like Massachusetts, California, New York, New Jersey, Oregon, Washington. Yeah. Illinois. Right. Cut them loose. Fuck them. They want to piss and moan and whine like that? Hell with them. In other words, what both sides are saying is what both sides were saying 160 years ago. Stop and think about that for a minute. Whatever learning was done between 1865 and now is over. Done. Do you? I mean, really, when we get to the front porch conversation, I think a conversation along these lines is in order. Do we on this side? Because it's far more important to me what decent people say as opposed to a bunch of barking, hooting, grunting, shrieking, bellowing maggots who don't understand their government in the first place think. Should we just have done? Is it finally time to just look at this long marriage and say, oh, come on. We tried to hold it together. Tried to hold it together for the children. But it's just not worth it anymore. Let's just go our separate ways. Let's just have done. And good luck with your lives and good luck with ours. And on our side, by the way, fuck all the progressives and liberals and decent people in Alabama and Tennessee and Texas and Arkansas, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. You know they're going to want Florida. Yeah, fuck all them. I mean, you know, they can come up here maybe if they can afford the taxes and the real estate prices. Hey, maybe the taxes will go down in the United States of America, because we're keeping that name too. The maggot states can be the Confederacy or Jesus Land or whatever the fuck they want to call themselves. The United States of America will remain the United States of America. It's just that kind of got to maintain some contiguity. Is that even a word? Between California, Oregon, and Washington, we got to find some way across the United States to link them up with maybe Minnesota. Hopefully Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, because Talibandiana ain't coming, Ohio ain't coming, hopefully Pennsylvania, probably Maryland, Delaware, Jersey, New York, all of New England. I mean, even as flinty and crappy as New Hampshire can be, and Maine, I don't think they're going to want to leave. Maybe they can send Susan Collins down to be a senator from Mississippi or something. It's going to be a deeply attenuated situation, isn't it? Yeah, see? Y'all thinking about it now. David in South Carolina stand says, me, if we can hang on to Maryland, I can go to Silver Spring, but Maryland always was tough. Booth and his merry band hailed from there. Yes, they by God did. And, you know, the normal decent states are going to have to worry about the not insignificant number of maggots there. I mean, is this 1948 and the partition between Pakistan and India? That didn't work out too well, did it? Not well at all. But yeah, I think the 4 in 10 Biden voters who say, yeah, that's the cut 'em loose factor. Right. So just a little food for thought as we move toward the front porch. Thank you very kindly to our dear friend Earther getting us started on the two challenges there. One for 25, courtesy of Ralph's, and one for 50 from Joey and Giraffery. So that's $40 to go on Joey and Giraffery's challenge, and then 25 to go on Ralph's. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Earther. And I had a note from Charlene in Rogues Island. After the previous challenges have been met, please offer my $150 challenge. When met, I will add 25 more. Best from Rogues Island, which, by the way, will remain in the decent United States of America, I have no doubt. I said all of New England. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. So all taken all together, there's $215 worth of challenges, which would, if met, would get us halfway done. And that is profound. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. Dave, number 11, with a note. Breaking news. Team coverage, action news. Breaking news. Water is wet. Joe Manchin found to be gaslighting douchebag. Death and taxes are certainty. Trees in California still on fire. Democrats to investigate all issues but not draw any conclusions. Full coverage after this message from Big Pharma. Our drug may make your nose mysteriously slide off. Ask your doctor if nose slide off is right for you. Well, yeah, that's possible. Randy Radar says, yeah, split the country in two, and then they would attack us. Probably. Hey, wait a minute. You mean we don't get the money y'all used to send? Fuck. Freedom! Come pouring across the boundary. Of course, we'd have to have a big, beautiful wall to keep the maggots out. Yeah. Right. Oh, I missed some cowbells. Dean Warmer suggested my remaining on campus would have created an animal house. Okay, a few gems you missed. Courtesy of Billable Rick. Junior has a ruling. Usually the judge grants continuance. In this case, the judge received a continuance. And Cinema touts herself as a proud bisexual, and it's a good description of her considering she is screwing both parties, including Republicans in the entire country, all at once. All three motions are granted, billable. Yeah. So we found our way to the top of the hour, and this being a Thursday, we do have the Green News Report, so we will go to that, and then we will join the Friday on the Front Porch conversation when we come back from that. Okay, so we got enough challenges on the table to help out a lot with ending the month. Thank you so much to Joey and Giraffery. Thank you to Ralphs, and thank you so much to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you all immensely.
It's Thursday, September 30, 2021.
The only way that Sempra or any other utility understands anything is in the pocketbook.
Gas company agrees to nearly $2 billion settlement in largest methane leak in U.S. history. 23 U.S. species coming off the endangered list because they're now officially extinct. Plus,
now Ford is going all in on electric, pledging that within 9 years, 40% of its fleet will be battery powered.
Ford makes an $11 billion bet on electric vehicles.
All of those good bets and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
When we meet the threat of the challenging climate we're all feeling, already ravaging every part of our world? Or will we suffer the merciless march of ever-worsening droughts and floods, more intense fires and hurricanes, longer heat waves, and rising seas?
Yeah, that last one. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, finally, justice for those folks in Porter Ranch outside of Los Angeles, a town that really stunk for quite a while.
Yes, it did. Utility SoCalGas and its parent company, Sempra Energy, have agreed to pay up to $1.8 billion as part of a settlement agreement in the Aliso Canyon gas leak of 2015, the largest known release of methane in U.S. history caused by a blowout at an underground gas storage facility. The companies did not admit fault.
They never do.
But did eventually acknowledge numerous failures, including failure to inspect key equipment. The four-month-long methane leak sickened residents, closed schools, and forced the evacuation of more than 8,000 people. The LA Times editorial board noted that the settlement cannot undo the long-term damage to the climate from methane, a powerful greenhouse gas. The leak was equivalent to burning more than a billion gallons of gasoline.
Wow.
In other news, as Congress debates passage of President Biden's climate agenda in his Build Back Better plan, a new poll by Yale Climate Communications shows a dramatic increase in Americans' concern over the impacts of climate change. An all-time record, 70% of Americans are now very or somewhat worried about global warming. The percentage of those very worried increased 10 points just since the last survey 6 months ago. And the increased concern ranged across all political groups, including a 10% boost from moderate Republicans.
There are no moderate Republicans.
And for the first time, a majority of Americans, 55%, agreed that climate change is harming people in the United States right now.
Only 55%?
Yep.
What planet do they live on?
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced that 22 animals and one plant in the United States will be removed from the endangered species list and declared extinct, including 8 bird species in Hawaii. Mm. It's due primarily to habitat loss from human development, hunting, and the multiple cascading effects of man-made climate change. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has finalized a rule that revokes the Trump administration's rollbacks of protections for birds, which Trump had weakened at the request of the oil and gas industry. And the Interior Department has also withdrawn a Trump administration rule that resulted in vastly reduced royalty rates for oil, gas, and coal extraction from the public's lands.
They better hurry up reversing all of that Donald Trump stuff before he becomes president again.
The Biden administration this week will begin phasing in new rates for federal flood insurance, requiring beachfront homeowners to gradually begin paying something closer to the actual cost of their actual individual flood risk. The shift to rates that reflect actual flood risk is intended to end the repetitive cycle of taxpayers spending millions to subsidize the repair and rebuilding of such homes over and over again. And that, in turn, is likely to change where coastal development occurs as rising seas and extreme weather disasters increase due to man-made climate change.
Hey, people who live near beaches, now's a really good time to sell that house.
Finally, some big good news. Ford Motor Company announced this week that it will invest more than $11 billion to build 4 new factories in the United States in its push to shift to electric vehicles. 3 battery factories and an electric truck plant in Tennessee and Kentucky, hiring 11,000 new workers and building what the company pledges will be carbon neutral facilities. Henry Ford's great-grandson, Chairman chairman Bill Ford acknowledged that it is a major risk for the venerable company.
It's a bet that I'd make any day of the week because electrification is coming, the battery industry is coming to America, and we just want to be at the forefront of it.
What would your great-grandfather say today about your new Model T for the 21st century?
I think he'd say what took you so long.
No kidding. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. So take it easy.
Well, that certainly was inspiring, wasn't it? God, yeah, I know. It is thorn in the front porch Thursday, and that being the case, we should probably go ahead and connect to the front porch group gathered around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, where Sparky occupies the seat of honor and wields the lightsaber. Let's see here. What... And, okay, so we'll be doing that, and we're doing that, and hopefully it's working. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
Just lovely.
Just love what? I lost you there in the noise.
Lovely. I don't know where that noise is coming from. Not me.
No, it sounded like somebody's mic was moving or something. You just love the what?
I said, I'm just loving it. It's an 80-degree day, clear as a bell, not a cloud in the sky.
And the man cave is tolerable?
Yeah, no cows in the pastures to be staring at me.
And the and no buzzards hovering over the carcasses of any cows to be stinking at you?
No, you want to hear the cow story?
Oh, do please, yes.
Well, Grady and I got up the other morning, I forget what morning it was now, and we come outside to do our Tim to do his thing, patrol the North 40, and I look out back of the my old hollow tree that really exists.
Yes.
And I see a cow tipped over. Gosh.
And there's been no competitive cow tipping in the pasture, right?
No, but I've never seen one out there in the pasture like that. Damn. And then the buzzards start coming around. I said, well, cow's dead. So one buzzard shows up, starts doing a soaring circle. Pretty soon there's two buzzards. Then there's three buzzards, and then there's buzzards that are landing on the ground and jump up the cow. Pretty soon, there's like 25 in the soaring around. And the herd is down right underneath the big tree right behind my house, the man cave out here. So I look out, and all of a sudden, the herd starts moving that direction. And the cows just got in like a protective circle around that dead one.
Aww.
And all the buzzards just hit the ground or went up in the old holler tree. Never seen. There was like six buzzards on the top of that tree. And every wooden fence post down the next pasture going north had buzzards sitting on it. And they're sitting in the grass, and they're just waiting, but the cows are there to protect. And that goes on, and pretty soon a bunch of them give up, but there's one still out there watching.
Oh, he's the sentry.
Along about 5:30 or so, the rancher comes bebopping out there with his big old tractor with the forklift blades on the front, lifts it up, hauls it off somewhere.
God.
That was my nature moment. I've never seen cows do that before because I've never seen a tipped over cow.
Do you think...
We've never had that many vultures here, and I've never seen a vulture soaring circle that big. I've seen 10, 15, but not 25. They almost needed air traffic controllers.
Well, I mean, it's wild. I mean, buzzards will get the word out. I don't know how. Maybe by flying as high as they do, circling over the soon-to-be dinner. Other buzzards figured it out.
They're all at different elevations, you know. Then some of them start dropping down, and then they'll land.
Fascinating little planet we have here, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know where they are today. I've only seen one soar through the yard here a little while ago.
Well, it's just a matter of they're wherever dinner is.
Well, they keep them. They usually have a sentinel on these pastures. If one flock cruising, you know, just soaring around. Maybe one or two, because they had a delicacy when the cows were calving.
Oh well, yeah, of course. Let's not do that to dinner this evening. I know what you're talking about.
But that's my story about the cow.
Sparky's nature's half acre, right?
Well, I got about almost an acre out here behind the house.
Nice. Well, I'm anxious to hear from Steve from Georgistan about his adventure yesterday. Are you there, Steve?
He's not in the room.
Oh. It shows him as being one of the admins in the conversation. I guess I'm still having issues.
Yes, you're having issues. What they are, I don't know.
Okay, let's do that and do this. Okay, all right. Oh, I see now. And I think I need to do a bit of an update real quick. Or maybe not. Not sure.
I could tell you who's here.
No, I see that. I've actually seen it. I don't know if I'm going to see the hands get raised or not. But I did see Billable Rick pop in. You there, Billable?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Having my having a salad here.
No, crunchy and delicious.
You got it. You got it. I'm getting ready for the for Bryson DeChambeau. He's hitting in about a half an hour in the Professional Long Drivers Association, their World Championship Tournament. So,
ooh,
should be kind of fun. Yeah. He hit a couple of days ago when he had favorable winds. I think he hit it as far as like 412 or something like that. He had a few over 400.
Big hit of the Lama.
I've never hit it that far. I've probably hit 300, but the winds are blowing at him today, so the longest hitters are only hitting around maybe 350.
Does John Daly still show up for those, or is he just old?
Well, you know, they do have a seniors category, I don't know if he's showed up, but. Yeah, they occasionally do have PGA players show up, but he's the only one this year. Bryson is anyway. He probably belongs in a group like that more than the PGA because he's like built like a linebacker, and all these guys are pretty stout usually, hitting the ball that long,
Yeah, you want them in your foursome just to get you off the tee, and then don't let them get anywhere near anything in the fairway or, God knows, a short iron or a putter.
Yeah. I mean, I could use someone like that for a scramble tournament. I think I'm entering foursome. You know, basically, you play best ball all along. You know, every hole, every shot is best ball, even putting. So, it's coming up. I think October 15th. I have to sign up for it though. So, I'm just kind of trying to get my billables done and stuff like that. Nothing too exciting here.
I think mention has been made that you need to check out Lee Greenwood's touring schedule, if you wouldn't mind. See if he's going to be playing L.A. anytime soon.
Okay.
There are people who want you to go to a Lee Greenwood concert and take your powers with you.
I know that people have said that. Let's see what he's got going on here. Lee Greenwood. He's got an official site.com, of course.
I mean, you'd have to take a heavy dose of an anti-emetic medication just to keep from yakking all the way through it, but you could perform mm-hmm. a great public service just by showing up and, because somebody pointed out the passing of Tom Petty was in the last, was like, you know, the anniversary was recently.
Not yet. Oh, I think it's October.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, coming up. Yeah, actually, one of the stations on Sirius XM, I know you don't do that, but they're going to broadcast an interview of Tom Petty by the DJ Jim Ladd, L.A.-based DJ, back in 1980. So like it was over 40 years ago.
That'd be back when long about when Damn the Torpedoes was big.
Right. Exactly. Well, Lee's got an event. Lee Greenwood, going back to him, he's got an event October 12th at the Von Braun Center in Huntsville, Alabama. It's called an all-star salute to Lee Greenwood supporting helpingahero.org. So.
Oh. Well, yeah. I won't be in Alabama by then, and besides that, I don't have your powers. So, you know, I'm only good for earthquakes and volcanoes.
Steve's in the room now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Scott.
Well, hey, Steve.
I have a question for you.
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
What is the name of that venue where Lee Greenwood will be?
The Von Braun Civic Center.
Yeah, Werner Braun.
Rick, you got to go, man. It's your
Once
duty.
The rockets are up, who cares? Where they
come down. It's not our concern, says Werner Von Braun.
Thank you.
That's right.
Was that Steve in Georgistan?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I got one for you, but I'll wait until you say hello and greetings and stuff.
Oh, salutations.
Has the numbness worn off, Steve?
What an ordeal.
Let me clarify. God, has the numbness in your mouth worn off? Yeah. Because I'm sure there was no numbness in your wallet.
No. Well, number 14, you know, I even tell you what the truth is. This all started back in July. The thing never hurt. Never bothered me. I never even knew I had a problem. So my dentist, who I know and love, but fell out of network, so I found an in-network dentist, and she seemed kind of shady because she wanted a credit card up front. And anytime, that's a red flag for me. I don't know, maybe it shouldn't be, but for me, anytime wants to hold my credit card up front, you know, I'm running. Anyhow, she diagnosed number 14. You're going to have to get a root canal. Screw that. I'm going to go get a second opinion. Went and got a second opinion from the dentist who's out of network, so I'll just pay the out of network. And I don't make the whole show about my damn tooth, but anyhow, long story short.
No, it may be a good thing. Go ahead, make it about your tooth.
Yeah, long story short, yeah, it needed a root canal, so yeah, it was blowed up. So went to the. This has been going on since July, and finally, after three dental trips and one trip to the endodontist or the root canal specialist, however you pronounce that, finally I got the permanent in yesterday, and that was an ordeal of it in itself. He put that thing in and it was so heavy it felt like it was the only damn tooth in my mouth. Had to keep grinding.
Wait, you had dental work? Wait, you had dental work and a permanent?
I had a root canal. What they do is they make them bold, and then they put a temporary in. I didn't tell you this part of it. And the temporary they put in about a month ago, it blew out the first night. So I had to go back the next day. Of course, they told me don't eat any crunchy foods. So what do I do? Start munching on baked Lays, not listening to them, and it blew it out. I had to go back the next day, and they put another temporary in. It was a little sturdier. The time I got there yesterday, that temporary was about gone. It was down to a nub. But, yeah, they put in the permanent yesterday, and it was so heavy. When I say heavy, I mean when you bite down, that's all you felt. It wouldn't have lasted like that. It had chipped off. And I kept saying, no, it's too heavy, too heavy, too heavy. And they finally ground it down to the bite's perfect now. But this is what floors me, Robin, and I don't know how people without insurance get by this whole ordeal for one tooth for $3,000.
Well, they wait until it falls out.
And that's with insurance picking up half, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
What if you don't have insurance? Who has $6,000 just laying around, you know?
Wouldn't you love to see, those data-driven economists, maybe that Freakonomics guy, wouldn't you love to see him just lay out why it is that one root canal is 6 large?
Right, right. Well, what the root canal, I'm talking total expenses, Robin.
No, I get that.
You know, crown, everything.
The thing is, you know, the economics of it is the dentist is sitting there, is paying a, somebody at the front desk and a technician, and, I mean...
And those aren't
bad jobs to have.
No, something else that grinds my gears. We have the technology to do this all in-house. It shouldn't be 4 trips to the dentist for one damn tooth. With 3D technology, why can't they make everything in-house? Diagnose you, okay, go to door number 2, get fitted, go to door number 3, get your crown. Have it all in one day.
I can remember a time, the word root canal is sufficient to strike horror into the hearts of people of a certain generation and older. And I remember a time when root canals were done. Okay, you need a root canal. And they get going.
They did it. The dentist did it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all dentists have to be trained to do them. They just farm it out now.
It's a pretty complicated procedure, actually, Steve. So there is for specialization in it.
Dave number 11 has a good answer. Liability insurance, period.
That's probably it. He's probably right. Yeah. That's my wheelhouse. So, good answer. But the old-timey dentist did it all.
With a boot on your chest, yes.
Yeah. Very high-tech. Very high-tech at the endodontist.
I knew lady once, speaking of dentists, it was her turn, and she put down the magazine, went in, got in the chair, they put the bib on, and she told the dentist, you know, I would rather have a baby than have a tooth pulled. And the dentist said, make up your mind, lady, I've got to adjust the chair. Ba-dum-bum.
Well, the only good thing about it was the laughing gas. And, of course, insurance doesn't cover that either. That's an extra $80 out of pocket. But if I don't get it, I'm prone to panic attacks. Next thing I know, I'm passed out and they're waving an ammonia stick under my nose. So there's that.
Jeez. So
make your rounds and circle back to me, Robin. I crunched some numbers here. This is very interesting when you get a chance.
Okay. I just wanted to see if anybody that was out there... wanting to get
I think Tracy had her hand up a second ago.
Okay, because I can't see hands. Did you have your hand up, Tracy?
Yes, I did. So, hi, everybody. Probably won't be on. I'll only be on for a couple of minutes. But I just put it in the chat, a link to a Zoom session for the Q&A with Patrice Cullors tonight at 5 o'clock my time, so after the show. And go ahead. Who knows who Patrice Cullors is?
Don't even. Just do it.
She's the founder of Black Lives Matter. One of the founding members of Black Lives Matter.
Where is she speaking?
She's speaking. Actually, it's for the new student convocation at CSUN. But there, so the new student convocation is at 6 o'clock, but the Q&A is at 5 with her. So, and I put the link in the chat.
And so, I mean, is it going to be live at all, or just is it all strictly?
No, this
Zoom?
Is live. No, this is. I mean, it's all Zoom. It's live.
In person.
I know what you mean, but it's not a recording. I mean, I don't know. Are you saying are they going to be like actually at school?
Yeah, that's what I meant, in person.
I do not know. Probably not. It's like it's the
because
whole thing
brains.
Is going to be on Zoom. Hmm?
Because brains, probably not. Because brains.
Because it's we're in California, and you know we try to keep stay away from large gatherings indoors. And this is another thing that's pissing me off. I want to, you know, I graduate from college next year, next spring. I want a fucking graduation. And I'm not talking about a fucking virtual graduation. I want to, it's only taken me, this is a culmination of 4 decades of trying to get my fucking degree.
Yeah, so and you want somebody there playing na, 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 live,
actually,
damn it.
It will actually be Lift Every Voice and Sing because it's the Black graduation.
Okay. Not going to go with any of that Gaudianus Igitur Latin stuff.
Well, Tracy, you raise a very good point. Thinking back to my high school graduation, which is as far as I got, at old T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria, I just don't think that the tossing of the caps into the air would have the same effect if everybody's in little rectangular electronic boxes. So we'll have to get you a live and in-person graduation.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's interesting you would bring up Ms. Cullors and Black Lives Matter. I was in Beckley today because this was one of my busy days. Thursdays are kind of rough. Today was therapy and electrocution on the same day. Party. But lo and behold, I went through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Shame on me. Did you know a sausage McMuffin with cheese has 500 freaking calories? I mean, it's stupid. And it ain't no Randy's Donuts either. But lo and behold, the car in front of me, and you know it's West Virginia, so you take notice. Car in front of me had a Black Lives Matter sticker on it. I was like, son of a gun. Gave him thumbs up. You know, so it's not entirely a lost cause here. No. Oh, and by the way, since we got the dentistry, had a note from Robert in Australia. I just had a root canal. Dental isn't covered by our health care system. It costs $4,220. Money I don't have, and I'll spend the next year paying it off. The only interesting part of it was that they 3D scanned what was left of the old tooth and the tooth above it, and then 3D printed the crown so it fit perfectly. Wow! 3D printed the...
That answers Steve's question. Why can't they do it in-house? Well, apparently they can if you're in Australia.
Right.
It must be worth a flight.
I don't think the flight... I mean, if you took the flight, the round trip, I don't think would set you back any more. You could go to Australia, pay $42.20, and still have the flight covered and be in Australia for a little bit. What's not to like?
Win-win.
Yeah.
You still have to quarantine for 14 days.
The only downside is on the flight back, a fight breaks out on the plane because of somebody in the MAGA section, and they knock your tooth out.
That'd be my luck, Scott.
You know, I'm ashamed, Scott. You were our little ray of sunshine for a while, and I've just beaten it all out of you over the years.
Kiss those days goodbye, Robin.
Those days are fucking gone.
Give him a big old sloppy wet kiss, baby.
Wave bye-bye to Grandpa Scott. Oh, God. Yeah. But, I don't know. I'd think about it, Steve. It's not going to be a 14-day quarantine forever. I don't think. I hope.
You get to see the down under?
Yeah. The up over.
Up over.
Yeah. That's hemisphere. That's some hemisphereism there because there's no up and down in space.
And time it so that there's a full moon because I think I read somewhere that in Australia the man in the moon is upside down.
Well, it man. It, but it's. Well, Robert will be taking that one, I'm sure.
Or those must have been the drugs. I don't know.
It may have been the laughing gas.
Root canal's about 2K.
I was talking to an Australian the other night.
And?
And we were talking about the lockdowns and all that, and the 14-day quarantine and all that stuff.
But it won't be there forever. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa says a root canal runs about 2K Canadian up there. Medical tourism, dental tourism.
There you go.
Because that's like
a clean record.
Compared to like down here, that's like, you know, $32.16. I'm gonna get shit from Brother Deacon Asa for that. Yeah.
So we canned his hide when he died, Clyde, and that's it, hanging on the shed. All together now? God, now you got me in an Australian frame of mind. Jesus.
Oh, this hurts. Randy Radar said, I managed to break off two $10,000 implants. That would be heartbreaking. Never mind the broken tooth. It's like, what's that like? What's that like, Randy, to spit out $20,000?
I mean, it's a perfect day to give up Jolly Ranchers. Jesus.
Those things should be illegal. Same thing with sugar daddies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they pull a crown right off, man.
And if you wear uppers and lowers that come in and out, don't get a sugar daddy and bite into that, because your teeth will stay embedded in the sugar daddy.
And when you go to take it out, the teeth come back. What a visual.
I've seen a sugar daddy in 20 or 30 years.
Here's some right-wing trivia. The company Welch, which originally made sugar babies and sugar daddies, was owned by Robert Welch, the guy who was part of the Big Honcho and the John Birch Society. Did you know that, Robin?
Well, I knew who the founder of the John Birch Society was. I didn't know he was behind the original sugar daddy.
Yeah, his family is connected. That's who the Welch is, and the. Of course, now that company's been sold a couple of times since then, but I'm just saying, if it comes up in jeopardy, you'll know.
Rick has his hand up.
Go, Billable.
Yeah, I got a quick update on Lee Greenwood. According to the closest he gets to the West Coast is he lands in Laughlin, Nevada for 3 shows at Don Laughlin's Riverside Resort Hotel and Casino. So
how far is that from you?
I could get there. I could take a flight there. It would be about hour and 10-minute flight. Not very far.
It'd be a public service. We could start a GoFundMe page to get you there. I mean,
I think it's by Reno. GoFund Rick. Make Lee Greenwood all that.
Lachlan is on the Arizona border.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, kind of like back in the bad old days in Bossier City, Louisiana, Merle Kimberly's Whisk a Go Go.
You know where Bullhead City is?
Yeah, I could drive there. It would be about a 4-hour drive, 3-hour drive maybe. Not even as far as Vegas.
Lachlan's on the other side of the river from Bullhead, because they can run ferries back and forth across. The river gambling.
Wonder if it's the kind of place where they've got chicken wire in front of the bandstand. You know, like
in the Animal House, right?
No, like the Blues Brothers.
Exactly. You know, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, exactly.
We need to clear this up. Robert in Australia responds, the man in the moon. I grew up hearing about the man in the moon. I could never see it. And it's because the moon's the right way up when viewed from Australia. No, but think about that. I mean, there's a pretty decent science fiction contingent in this community. Whenever the spaceship flies up to Earth, Earth is always the way we in the Northern Hemisphere experience Earth, or the view of Earth. North Pole up, South Pole down. But if you think about climate change and everything, it's much more likely that they would think the upside, you know, the amorphous multi-limbed aliens from Nordlap 9, it's like a little, you know, Antarctica would be like a little, you know, like a little white frozen yarmulke at the top of the planet. And everything going, right? I probably need to ask Terry about this. You see my point?
Well, No, wait a minute. Something else about Australia. You know how when you, when you've got water in the sink and you pull the plug and it goes down and at the very end it swirls clockwise?
Yeah, it goes the other way in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah, okay. Is that true?
Yes.
I read it. All the damn.
Yeah, and Robert will tell us in a moment. Yes, that's true. It goes the correct way.
Now, does the toilet tissue go over the roll or under the roll? Now,
Scott, turn the camera off.
That's a universal.
Oh, sorry about that.
Over the roll is a universal correctness.
There's
something badly wrong with under the roll people. It's just wrong. And at least with over the roll, the cats have to work harder. What?
I said I have a disabled video, so
anybody
else tries to come on with a video camera won't be able to see him.
Very good. Very good.
Good job. You're the man.
And that's why you occupy the seat of honor, Sparky.
And that's like we like Duncan.
Yep.
How are you doing, GW?
So I'm not nearly as mad as I was at the end of the show last night, Robin.
A little better,
I'm
Jeremy?
A little bit. But my secret is I'm always mad, so you can't really tell when I'm mad. But I wanted to say that last night I was catching up on Malloy, and it was either Tuesday nights or Monday nights, but I think it was last night, so Wednesday nights, where he was talking about, you know, he turned on the news yesterday morning or whatever, and he just started laughing because everything was going, all the craziness around us. And I'm like, I can kind of understand that. And I was doing fine. Until he gets to the story about the lady from, I forget where, Alabama, who kept her daughter out of school because she didn't believe in masks last year. And, you know, that don't really help. And this year she decided masks are okay, but her kid couldn't go to school because they were teaching her stuff that would make her feel bad about being white.
Oh, that was Tennessee.
It was Tennessee. But what got me was when he talked about those fucking seahorses.
Yeah, I had the seahorse story last week. Maybe more
it,
in more
when
in Monday.
Malloy said I laughed out. I couldn't stop laughing for 5 minutes. For fuck's sakes, wanting to cancel a book about the life of seahorses because it's too sexual for 5-year-olds. What the fuck is this country coming to?
Well, but Jeremy, it's not this country. It's the maggots. It's the power of a noisy plurality, not even a majority, to fuck things up for everybody else. And here's the punchline to all of that. The woman who is starting all this shit, and it's in Williamson County, Tennessee, is actually a former fighter pilot. Okay, all that training that you saw Richard Gere go through, an officer and a gentleman, you know, dropping them in a chair into the swimming pool, and they got to either get out of the chair or drown, all that shit. She went through that.
Dear Lord.
I mean, you've got to have a certain IQ to even get into flight school, and then the washout rate is significant. And so this woman got through all of that and somehow or another still is able to have a hissy about a book that she's never even laid eyes on. And that's the takeaway. I mean, yes, it's funny. It's funny. But the takeaway from all of this is that she's doing the one thing she was ever good at, and that is following orders. None of these people throwing these hissies in these school boards have the first foggy clue about what they're complaining about. They've just been weaponized by some 501c3 organization, or maybe C4, but probably C3. And they've been given their talking points, and by God, when they're told to march, they fucking will march. Because the bottom line with the seahorse book is she's sitting there barking and grunting and hooting in a school board meeting about seahorse fucking when there's when the images in the children's book, which is just a sweet little book about seahorses, don't come anywhere close to, and they're watercolors. They are watercolors. They're not photographs. It's
people take things too freaking literally anymore.
It's not even literal. They, honest to Jesus, don't even know what's in there. You can go on YouTube and find somebody reading this book, and it will show you the pictures. There's nothing even remotely, vaguely salacious. I mean, seahorses use their tails, and they take their tails and they wrap them around a little stalk of seaweed to keep them from just bobbing off in the current.
Think about this, Robin. Do you think that it's to me, that sounds like book burning.
It is.
I have a deeper theory about this. I think there's more than just that. I think it's because of the unnatural nature or the unusual nature of the way the babies are conceived.
Precisely, yes. That's a big part of it.
I think that's what the fear is.
Right, because all seahorses are transgender. And so there's a clearinghouse out there that looks for anything that looks remotely trans. What do you mean the male carries the eggs? That just means it must be the female. Well, no, not really.
No.
Well, no, wait a minute. This will freak them out, though. When I had Punky and Trixie, a male and female cockatiel, and they had several sets of babies, Punky, who was the male bird, they would take turns sitting on the eggs.
It's called cooperative parenting.
Well, yeah. Nature will teach us a lot but pay attention.
Penguins do that. Penguins do that. The male sits on the egg, the woman takes off.
There are frogs in Africa that essentially die during the dry season and come back to life and are pretty rare. And because they're so rare, they change to whatever sex they need to be to reproduce. If there's two males, one becomes female. No joke. Or vice versa.
It's pretty fucking amazing.
No, it's like, what is it that guy said? I can't remember that movie. Life Finds a Way.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park. It was Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Life Finds a Way.
Life Finds a Way. No, it was...
Jay, you don't remember?
No, it was this. Life Finds a Way. You know how... what's his name?
Oh, Jeff Goldblum.
Huh?
Jeff Goldblum.
Goldberg.
Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. Hi, all. I know you...
Hi, Steve.
That I'm here now.
I'm here. Let the bells ring out and the banners fly. It's too good to be true. Feast your eyes on me. I'm here. Yeah.
I was going to call you the other day, Steve.
You hold on.
I just sent you a message. I need your address.
I've got it. I'll forward it to you. Please, okay. Let's not do all this on the air.
Okay. By the way,
I got some breaking news.
Yes?
King Shrek is dead at 86.
Who?
Joe Rogan, Pink Shrek.
You're lying.
That's what the chat is saying on this golf thing I was watching. Rest in peace. No.
Joe Rogan, the podcast guy?
Joe Rogan, yeah, the podcaster, yeah.
I'll be damned. You know, the worst program director I ever had, I was looking at one of the trade journals last week, and he died after, quote, a short illness. Worst program director I ever worked for in radio.
I don't know what the source is on that, but I'm just checking. No, he's not. He is, however, he did, however, fall out of the top spot on Spotify. I bet the business genius who paid him $1 million. What?
His pet gorilla died of complications from COVID, apparently. Global Free Will is his pet gorilla.
Wait, Joe Rogan had a pet gorilla? Really?
Free Will, yeah.
God damn it. Just go buy the fucking Gulfstream like Rush. I mean, it's...
Right.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I guess the rumor just gets started and then people start to...
Well, that's, I mean, that's a thing. You know, so-and-so is dead.
A chat room, yeah.
I mean, they kind of did the same thing at, what was it, there was some star and they were like, oh, they're dead. And I'm like, I don't think so. Usually they'll announce it through Hollywood something or other. And they're like, no, they're dead, they're dead. And I looked it up and no, they weren't dead.
Yeah. You always have source.
Hey, Robin?
Yes, Steve.
Can you guys hear air in the background here?
No, all I can hear is the fan behind me, frankly.
Okay. Can anyone else hear air? Because I have my fan. It's just in a different part of my room.
Nope. Can't hear anything.
No. Okay.
I'm going to rant about something.
I can't hear it, not to be difficult, but I definitely hear it.
Well, quit being a pain in the butt, Jeremy.
Just being honest.
Yeah. I'm going to rant about something that... And I don't. Yeah. I can't tell if it's because I'm an effing nerd or what it is, but I am sick of people talking about the full faith and credit of the United States.
We've done this.
I know. But I hear, and I just want to make sure that everyone knows it. It has nothing to do with the debt. We all know this, right?
You're right. It has. Doesn't it have to do with like states recognizing the legal precedents of other states or
the ministerial act?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I just get sick of people. I get sick of this. I stop listening to an awful lot of so-called smart people talk about the debt ceiling and all that when they do it wrong because. Or they'll cite the 14th Amendment, which says it, which it doesn't say it, obviously. If people don't do basic research about what they're talking about, I don't even listen anymore.
Understandable.
I don't know if that and you can put every single
no the 14th Amendment the 14th Amendment business isn't full faith and credit. It is not questioning the validity of the United States debt.
Of the debt. And when I hear Rachel Maddow, who I can't stand anymore, talk about it like that, the full faith and credit, I hear Randy Rose. Well, I stopped listening to her a long time ago.
No, we've had the talk about.
I know.
We don't want to upset Andy. And
I know.
Andy made a point.
But this is right.
I understand. But this actually dovetails into something else, and I'm looking at it right now. Now, Brother Deacon Asa sent me this. It's a photo from a radio host by the name of Dave Ramsey. And Dave Ramsey has an extremely profitable, popular radio program in which he, in a very Christian way, tells people how to get out of debt and live the prosperity gospel lifestyle. So I've heard him a few times. It's ugh. He hustles whatever he hustles, you know, he's through some network, whatever. But he's a big one for Jesus. And he put up an Instagram post recently showing an absolute room full, I mean packed butthole to belly button of students at Liberty Universiti, otherwise known as Falwell U, where until recently Jerry Falwell Jr. was running that hustle until we found out that he was he was kind of sitting in a corner in a gimp mask while Becca got it on with the pool boy. Cucky Jerry, I think we called him at the time. Whole room full of Liberty University people, and not a mask in sight, and it's Liberty Universiti, which means that they probably think that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. And Dave Ramsey, you know, this entirely irresponsible Christian said, loved being with my friends and the fabulous students at Liberty University Convo today, because they have to go to convocation all the time. And so they brought in this radio prosperity gospel economics hustler to speak to the students. And as Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, super spreader event at Liberty U. This is going to be fun to watch in a couple of weeks. And it's there in Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberti Universiti. Arnold has distilled Dave Ramsey down to his essential nature. Pay your bills and don't eat. Fuck him. And that's basically him.
You don't get away with that. Give yourself a cowbell. I see what you did there by Lynchburg and distilled. Come on.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. It's nice to know people notice. I try. Well done, Jeremy. By the way, we are coming up on the second hour of the third hour of the program, finishing the second. And we've still got $40 worth of Joey and Giraffe's challenge, $25 worth of Ralph's challenge, and $150 worth of Charlene's challenge. And this is the end of the month, and if we can meet all of those, at least we'll be close to okay. So these are matching challenges. Please don't let them just blow past. If they're met, it will be extremely helpful going into the new month. And again, the program note may not be here tomorrow evening. I will make every effort to be here, but I got to get up at 5 in the morning and get down to Huntington, West Virginia. And that appointment's at 10. I don't know when I'm going to be out. And then turn around and drive back. Hopefully I'm home by 3. Crossing my fingers. If they set it at 10, there's no way they're going to have me for 2 hours. Maybe an hour, tops. And then hopefully back home by 3, and we'll have Friday on the front porch for the first broadcast. And that would be Bruce's Memorial Challenge tomorrow, by the way. But I just wanted to make sure, because inevitably, if I'm not here tomorrow, I'll get emails saying, where are you? And so I want to, as broadly as possible, say, may not be here tomorrow. So that's that. But no, I regret to inform you, it does not appear that Joe Rogaine, Pink Shrek, well, I don't regret to inform you, that's shitty of me to say. But no, Joe Rogaine is still among the quick, but he's not number one on Spotify anymore. So there's that.
Robin, can I toss something out there? You know, I like to crunch numbers.
Absolutely, go right ahead.
This is mind blowing, man. And if you've already touched on this, I apologize. I haven't been able to listen due to work and teeth and all this nonsense. Everybody's got their fucking, you know, they're running around with their hair on fire over this $3.8 trillion over 10 years.
Right.
You know how much we spend? I went ahead and backed up for the last 10 years. You know how much we spend on an average on defense every year?
Spill it.
$690 billion. Times that by 10, you're looking at close to $7 trillion. Nobody even brings that up.
Yeah, but that's for killing brown people. And we'll spend money to kill brown people, Steve.
And please research this. Don't take my word for it.
No, it sounds about right.
And you know what's even worse? That doesn't include the black ops part of the budget. Nor does that include Department of Energy, which a lot of money for which ends up going into defense spending. DOT, a lot of which goes in ends up being for defense. Like the FAA and all that shit. Steve, to be honest with you, if you added all of it up that actually goes to defense, and remember, Homeland Security is probably a lot of that goes to defense. But let's be honest here, a lot of Homeland Security is military or so we're probably talking close to $1 trillion.
Yeah, for killing, maiming, and destruction, you know, the sky's the limit. But to, you know, fix the chug hole in the roads and, you know, our antiquated...
Brooga, 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 brooga.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? Old, these rotten motherfuckers. But no, I'm glad you brought it up, Steve, because these rotten motherfuckers count on us not knowing that or not noticing that.
Which Steve? I hope you were talking about Steve from Georgistan.
I was.
Good.
Well, thanks.
Dude, you're kind of getting goat status here. I gotta tell you.
I don't even know what that means, but.
Oh, you know what the
I'll
goat
take
is,
it with
right?
the laugh.
Goat, sure. Greatest of all time. That's the goat. You're getting to have goat status here.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I had to crunch that this morning. It was just bothering me. I was wondering how much we spend on defense, and it's staggering, Steve. And nobody mentions it. You don't hear it. I mean, even on the progressive talk shows, nobody's talking about it. Why didn't somebody on the House floor bring that up? Why don't somebody on the Senate floor bring that up?
You know, you want to know why?
No, Steve has brought it up on the House floor.
Who has?
AOC.
Good. Good on her. Good on her.
Steve?
I missed that. Yes, Scott.
In Georgistan? If you want a real thing that'll twist your head 16 ways from Sunday, go on to YouTube and or just Google it, and you should find the written text of it or the actual speech that Eisenhower did, I believe, in his farewell address the night before Kennedy was sworn in.
Military-industrial complex. Yes, sir.
Sit down and read that, okay?
Oh, how prophetic, man.
And bear in mind that this was on January 19th, 1961, so that was the situation then. And bear in mind also that the speech, the original text was supposed to be Military Congressional Industrial Complex.
Military Congressional.
What is it?
The Military Congressional Industrial Complex. Or Industrial Congressional.
They
made him take Congressional out.
Right. Because those are the people who do the legislation and do
the
budgets.
Allocate the funds. Right. They control the purse strings.
Exactly. And after you've listened to the speech or watched it or whatever, then go on to either Amazon Prime or Netflix. I forget which. I think it's Amazon Prime. And there's a documentary from the early 2000s called Why We Fight. And they go into that shit as well. I say that shit. It's a very serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth knowing. And like Robin says, they count on us not knowing these things. Or maybe Steve, the other Steve, said it. So check that out. Why We Fight and Eisenhower's Farewell Address. And I finally, my computer's been giving me trouble. I finally brought it back to life. Here's the viewing tip that I had for you an hour and a half ago. You ready for
cool.
this?
Yeah, man, I got my pencil. Go ahead.
It's on Amazon Prime, but if you have Epics, you can watch it on the app.
I got Prime.
Okay. Breaking news in Yuba County. It's a film from this year, which I had never heard of. I came across it quite by accident.
Yuba. Spell that, Scott.
Y-U-B-A.
Okay.
Yuba County. Breaking news in Yuba County. Have you ever seen the original movie Fargo?
The original or the one that everybody always talks about here all the time?
Well, there's a TV show called Fargo, which mm-hmm. I think is based on the movie, if I'm not mistaken. But there was a movie called Fargo. And if you've seen the movie Fargo, it has that kind of feel to it. Funny, yet scary and gruesome. And I think you'll enjoy the hell out of this movie.
Sure.
And
Allison
Janney is in it. And she ought to win an award for her performance. It's a new favorite film, I think.
Breaking news in Yuba County. And you said it's a documentary?
No, it's a theatrical film, a drama comedy.
All right, cool.
And it is quite gruesome and quite good.
So yeah, here's
you ever been to the Yuba County, Scott?
Yuba County, that's in California, isn't it? No.
Yeah, it's like
I've never been there.
It's like two counties away from me.
So here's an honest question.
I lived in Yuba County when I was in the Air Force.
Oh.
Here's an honest question for everybody, and I mean this honestly.
Back when you were repairing those overpriced spy planes?
Yeah.
There you go.
During the Juan Corona days.
Was that the guy that buried the kids in the school bus?
No, that's the guy that killed farm workers.
Okay, yeah. I get my mass murders confused from time to time.
He was in Yuba County.
Jeez. Well, I ain't going then.
So I have a quick question for everyone, if you can hear me. So based on all the dirt we've done around the world, and I didn't mean dirt, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of it, actually most of it. But do you honestly think we can cut the defense budget by a ton, if not all, and not have repercussions for what we've done? That's the one problem with what we're in now.
Excellent question.
Great question.
Think about it. If they did cut that, they could pay off the deficit.
They'd get close. They could, but this is the problem we're in. We have our defense budget because, and this is a fact, other countries know if they fuck with us, we'll come for you. And that's the one advantage we have. And if we don't have that anymore, they might reverse that on us and come for us.
I don't agree.
You're misinformed, Steve.
No.
You're misinformed.
Okay, fine.
Peace and love will not solve this problem.
That's not what I'm getting at.
Costa Rica doesn't have a military.
Costa Rica doesn't fuck with the rest of the world.
But I'm not. That's not what I'm. Most of the military budget, I'll bet if you look into it, doesn't go for weapons and infantry. And by the way, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to do this on another subject. And can somebody mute who's ever like slurping or whatever? Do we all understand the difference between the deficit and the debt?
Yes,
I do.
Because I keep hearing paying off the deficit. The deficit only happens every year. The debt is the accumulation of all of the deficits.
Correct.
Which is why we can have a surplus and still be in debt.
And at least we're not going to shut down till December. And I almost had a heart attack. My Congress critter voted yes to keep the government open.
He's probably big in the defense and in the military, the defense industry. Let's be honest.
He does have a military base in his district.
Well, there you go.
Well, Steve.
Can't turn that spigot off.
The base I used to be stationed at is in his district.
There you go.
One of the things that you alluded to earlier about the military and the dark budget, okay, not the public military budget, but the dark budget. You remember when they used to talk about $75 screwdrivers?
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't mean the cocktail. I mean, you know.
No, the $425 toilet seat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's basically, you know, the toilet seat costs what the toilet seat costs. That balance is what's going toward the dark side of the budget, is the way I heard it.
Well, it's basically top secret things. It's intelligence, that type of thing. And the other thing too, Jeremy, I want to mention. I got to think a good amount of that money goes to maintain bases in countries that have been allies for decades. And how much money are we spending in all throughout Europe in maintaining military bases?
Yeah.
And what that probably, and you have to think of it this way too, what's really nefarious about that is there's probably a good number of foreign countries that have those military bases there that they don't want to give up. Not because of any defense, of issues of defense.
But because it's a good dollar.
Because they want,
like a suck at our airport.
They want the soldiers there spending money on their economy.
Ding.
I would agree with most of that, Steve, honestly. I really would.
Want to say it again?
I said I would agree with most of that, honestly. I would.
No, please lie to me. I know I'm being, I was just a dick there.
I was a dick at first, too, so I forgive you.
And, well, I am what I eat.
We all have our hot button topics. Unfortunately, I guess that's mine.
Speaking of dangly things, there was a...
Hold up. Y'all just, wait, stop.
Yes, Tracy.
Y'all just hear, the demand said I am what I eat and nothing?
Yeah, I kind of was surprised at that, Tracy. I was like, oh, really? That just...
I'm half listening because I can't, I had to unmute myself just to say, really, y'all? The man said, I am what I eat.
After being called a dick.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, I missed that. Who said that? Yeah.
I did.
It'll be on the podcast, Scott. Don't make them replay it.
I had to come and interrupt on that one because I was just flabbergasted. Y'all comment on everything.
Well, I mean, and thank you, Tracy.
I wasn't going to say anything though.
No, that was hanging up above the rim, and I was not going to go up and just no.
I mean, you talk about low hanging fruit or balls. Or whatever.
Now, see, you just went there too. So, before you criticize the moat in anybody else's eye, you be yanking that log out of your own, okay?
Oh, wow!
And in your just come out and gasp audibly at the things I hear on this program.
Wait, say that one more time, baby. What?
I said, do anyone that ever ride in your cab, being kids or anyone, ever audibly gasp at the things they hear come out of your speaker on this program?
Well, that's what. Well, first of all, I have on a Bluetooth, that part. And second, I'm very careful. You guys, if I am talking to you guys during the show, and if I haven't cussed one time, then you know that I have
kids. Youngins in the car. Yes.
I got youngins in the car.
I figured the Bluetooth and the cussing. I was pretty sure that was happening. I figured that. But
No.
Making a joke out of it.
You can guarantee, and especially if I like stop before I'm going to say something. Cheering's in the pour, so I have to be good. But there's no fun in that. So carry on.
If I may pick up where I left off, speaking of...
I'm sorry,
dangling,
Scott. I'm sorry. I'm just,
no, that's all right. You raise a valid point every time, damn it. You've got to stop because you're making me look bad. But
that's not that hard to do.
Well, lately. There was a thing in Rolling Stone the other day about Donald Trump's member resembling a toadstool.
Okay, so we're just gonna give up on the program and just go right into the gutter for the next 45 minutes. Okay, I got it. I'm good.
Well,
is it poisonous?
Number one,
was there a gnome sitting
show in the
under
ditch? There is
with a pointy hat. Garden.
No, he called Stephanie Grisham to complain about what Stormy Daniels had said, and
Stephanie, you just get out there and deny it. Just tell him no. It's not misshapen, and it doesn't look like a little mushroom. Just that's all you have to say, Stephanie.
And now they're describing. Now, I mean, he literally described her as,
she only did this for attention, and it's because she had a bad breakup with a guy who worked in my office. Okay, she's just bitter.
mean, he's just he's a fucking walking Me Too machine.
Oh, speaking of Me Too.
Yes.
I have the black version of aside from R. Kelly. On the record, it's on, damn it, HBO Max, because there's just so many. But it's about this young woman, black woman back in the 90s, who was basically part, you know, in the beginning of hip hop. She came up with some amazing hits and all that. And, it was her dream job, and she was working for Russell Simmons. And everything was great, and he would, you know, make advances toward her, and, you know, she was able to sidestep them. And then one day, she was on her way to get, waiting for a car, getting money for a taxi, and Russell Simmons is like, hey, you know, you're an executive. You get car service, so why don't you just come up to my apartment? And I'll call the car for you. And she's, you know, she's, and plus, because she kept saying no, no, but he's like, I have a new artist that I want you to hear and all that. And she goes up, goes in the bedroom, and you know what happened.
Well, here we go. Look, it's Mr. Winky.
Right. And so she, you know, he raped her. And, she stayed as long as she could, because then all the dynamics changed. She's like, well, hopefully, you know, because of my work and everything, he'll take me seriously. I won't be just a piece of meat. So the dynamics changed and everything. And so eventually she quit. A couple of years later, she gets hired at Arista by Clive Davis. And everything is great. She's producing Lauryn Hill, Aretha Franklin, all the, you know, bad women artists and all this. Clive Davis retires, and here comes L.A. Reid. And she made it evidently clear to him that there was nothing going to happen, you know. But once she made that clear to him, he iced her out. This woman, this is how bad she was. She brought Kanye West to his attention, and he passed on Kanye West. He also passed on, well, you know, that's before Kanye lost his mind. But anyway, that aside, and then he passed on John Legend.
Man, that's a vision.
And so at that point, she was like, she quit the music industry. So the documentary, basically, it talks about her women not been ran out of, what kind of music would have been produced?
Yeah.
You know, so it's on the record. It's an amazing documentary, and oh yeah, and R. Kelly's going to jail. So yay, that part.
Yeah, I don't think R. Kelly got railroaded or nothing.
So no. It's just, the fact that it took as long as it did, and if you guys see, you know, saw the documentary Surviving R. Kelly, one of the things that they talk about is, had these women been white?
Well, that's all, I mean, that's the eternal everything.
It would never have gone on as long as it did. Nope.
But then again, look at Harvey Weinstein, Tracy.
No, we're talking about a black man being accused of sexual abuse. But it was black women and black girls.
I was going to ask if we could talk about Republican.
Oh, yeah, no. I just had to, because you guys said Me Too, and I said, let me throw that out before I forget, because you guys know me.
I got a question.
For who? For me?
Tracy?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? It's called On the Record. Did you
On the Record.
On Netflix?
No, it's on HBO Max.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh, and the dirt on it, before I forget, remember about a year or two ago, people were coming, 50 Cent and a couple of other folks were coming for Oprah?
No.
Well, they were coming for Oprah and calling her a traitor because she was producing, well, she was one of the producers of the documentary.
Ew.
And so she pulled out. They, you know, her people were like, you know, because they did the message, well, we still believe these women, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. So when she pulled out, because it was going to supposed to have aired somewhere, I forget where it was. I think it was supposed to be on her net. I forget. It was supposed to air on a different station or what have you. But once Oprah pulled out, it was touch and go, very sketchy as to if the documentary was ever going to be, you know, shown on television or released. But fortunately, HBO Max picked it up. And I'm thinking, wait, Oprah, you had no problems about the documentary about Michael Jackson. Oh, wait, but Michael Jackson is dead and he's not as powerful as, you know, L.A. Reid and Russell Simmons are still alive and very powerful. So that's it.
Okay. And can hire lawyers.
Yes. And can hire lawyers.
Yeah, Sparky, what were you going to ask?
I was going to say, have you heard about the affair between Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski?
I saw something about it. Is that who it is?
That's what I read somewhere.
Because you know, originally I saw that somebody was saying that he sexual harassed the living bejesus out of somebody. That's just gross. But then again, what do you want? This is a minefield. I just despise her so much. I can see that being true. There, that is bad of me to say that, but I can.
Just did that to set you off.
Just to set me up?
Set you off.
Oh, set me off. Yeah. That's, well, I mean, you certainly put me off my post-production late meal. Ooh, baby, I'm your gnome. Ew. Ew. Ew.
I don't know about that Claire. He's such a little worm anyway, but I don't think he could do anything.
Let's not even think about it. Can we not? Hey, I need to send out thank yous. Big thank yous to Steve and Miss Karen and Little Cletus. Little Cletus went out and dug up a bone. And so we are now down to $25 to go on Joey and Giraffe's challenge. We got $25 to go on Ralph's challenge. And here with about 40 minutes to go in the program, $150 to go on Charlene's challenge just to get close to ending the month, okay? So
didn't we...
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead.
Didn't we speculate almost a year ago as the era of the delusional, demented, inept fool experiment in governance coming to an end? Didn't we speculate that after the Biden administration came into office and a reasonable amount of time elapsed, that there would begin to be books and books and books and books with stories that would curl our hair? And they seem to be coming out. I mean, some of that stuff is not surprising, but it's shocking, if you get what I mean.
And one wonders at the timing, because Morning Joe the other day, the ex-congressman, waxed philosophic about how, well, you know, thanks for finally telling us it's too little too late. And you wonder if it's just an attempt to make a buck, because that question we've asked about, you know, about far more serious issues, like, you know, Bob Woodward's book. You know, if it was that important, why not come out with it, you know, then? But the other part of it is, does this stuff come out now to sort of hopefully preemptively make him decide he doesn't want to run?
Or, squash his candidacy?
I would think that that's a substantial chunk of it.
But the question then is that even possible?
Oh, no, he's going to run. Unless he's so tied up with legal issues. But even then, I mean, how many times did Lyndon LaRouche run from a prison cell?
You're right.
You know?
But Lyndon LaRouche never had a chance of winning from said prison cell.
Well, yeah, there.
You now, there's a, but there's a question for you. What would happen if somebody ran for president from a prison cell and won?
I'd ask for a recount first.
Really? Don't think that they could actually serve?
Right.
Well, no, wait a minute. If you're a convicted felon, which I presume Trump would be, in most, in a lot of places, felons can't vote, at least not right away.
Right, and you've got the, and you've got the, and then you've got the impeachment language that says, you know, once impeached, cannot hold a position of trust or honor. The question was far more serious back in the early 20th century, when socialist candidate got the most votes of a third party ever.
Gene Debs?
Eugene V. Debs.
Eugene, yeah.
And did so from a prison cell. At least he was unjustly imprisoned, for God's sakes. But, you know. Oh, and I got big thanks to Tracy. Thank you, Tracy, dear. That finishes Steve, Joey and Giraffe's challenge and finishes Ralph's challenge. And now we have 35 minutes to see if we can find $150. Your 5 becomes 10, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But $150 will be doubled if we can bring that in 35 minutes. Sorry to mention it, but it is what it just, you know, well, got to let y'all know. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much.
To kind of dance around your question a little bit, Robin, about will he run and et cetera, I think that if nothing else, these previous 4 years should have been instructive to people who have a few viable brain cells to bang together inside of their otherwise empty skulls. Granted, his people are always going to vote for him. Okay, but the question becomes: do we want 4 more years of that? I don't.
Nor do I. But okay. People with brains in their heads, that would include your billionaires. And a billionaire who doesn't want to pay an extra $1 million in taxes would probably vote for him and say, you know, screw whatever he does to the poor people. That doesn't touch me. That doesn't affect me. Matt in San Francisco with an answer. Trump run. We all knew he was insane. Let me try that again as a professional broadcaster. We all knew he was an insane sexual predator before he ran the last time. This information is not revelatory. It makes no difference. There's a good chance he will run and win. Let's not kid ourselves. And unfortunately, I wish I could say, well, no, Matt, you're obviously
in a prison cell because then he can't run.
But Matt is not obviously wrong. And it leads back into the question I said that I wanted to put to the group as I wrapped up the Filler Robster. And that is this polling data out of the University of Virginia's Center for Politics that says that more than half of Trump voters think it's time to split up the country. Is it? Well, because 4 in 10 Biden voters agreed too.
Here's my take
when you,
on that.
When you were doing your list, Bobby, Robin, you forgot Nevada.
Well, yeah, I didn't. I wasn't trying to be exhaustive. I also didn't include Idaho or. Oh, but you mean as a potential, yeah, as part of the remainder United States of America, right? Yes.
Yeah, Idaho is too far gone.
I have an answer to your question.
How about New Mexico, though?
Yeah, New Mexico is pretty progressive. I mean, look at the two senators, Democratic governor.
Yeah. But I mean, they got a bunch of fucked up redneckery out there. Make no mistake. I mean, there's a reason that they set Breaking Bad in New Mexico.
at the risk of having Sparky's eyes roll around like pinballs in an old-fashioned pinball machine, let me take you back to 1964, when it was LBJ running against Barry Goldwater. And I forget who LBJ's ad campaign people were or was.
Are we going to talk about the girl with the flower?
No, no. This was another commercial, which was even more powerful to me. And it was a balsa wood map of the United States floating in water. And the voiceover says words to this effect. In a speech on whatever date, Barry Goldwater said, the country would be better off if the eastern seaboard were sawed off. And meanwhile, there's a saw going through the balsa wood, the United States, sawing off the eastern seaboard. And Barry Goldwater said, the country would be better off if the eastern seaboard, liberal establishment people, were sawed off and floated off in the water. I don't know that we need or want to break up the country. Haven't we done that before? Haven't we split off?
No, we tried. Somebody tried. They did not succeed. They had to be dragged kicking and screaming back into the country.
But at horrendous cost in lives and treasure. Did we not learn anything from that? I mean,
no, there was some learning that took place over about the course of 15 years. Then the lost cause myth was promulgated, and you wind up with statues of Confederate generals all over the South to traumatize black people under the pretext of history. And you get all these Southern states adding the fucking star, Confederate battle flag to their state flags. And the next thing,
stationary.
And the next thing you know, 160 years have passed, and it's like, well, maybe it's time to try it again.
Well, we're fucked if we go down that road again.
But can I say something real quick about that?
Please.
I wish you would.
I think the fundamental difference is this time the split would be amicable.
You think so? You really think that?
Wait a minute. Let me rephrase. That's not what I mean. Would be mutually desirable.
I get that, Steve.
Wait, hold on. Mutually desirable? Where are all the people in the frozen north going to go in spring, in the winter, rather?
Which frozen north? Which frozen north?
I mean, you know, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. They're going to have to cross an international border, and there'll probably be visas and checkpoints. Because you know the South is not going to be any kind of freedom kind of place, right?
Well, they'll find somewhere else to go. I mean, with global warming, they'll just go up to, they'll go to Toronto.
Go to Anchorage. by the way, we get Hawaii. Hell, where do I go? And that's, you know, and that's the question I keep asking. For those 4 in 10 Biden voters who said, yeah, it's time to split up the country. Thanks for hanging out to dry the tens of millions of liberals and progressives who are busting their ass and living with considerably more risk where they are every day. But, no, I get the point. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, splitting up the country. Is that the same thing as closing the bus door and getting moving? I'm asking for a friend who's still waiting for his helium-filled pants, because it was our buddy Reverbo who posed that statement a long time ago. It's time to close the... we've been idling the bus long ago.
Well, here's the thing, though, and it's interesting that we're talking about this, because just earlier today I was watching the raw footage of the Shelby Foote interview segments from the Civil War series that Ken Burns did. And one of the things that Shelby Foote said was, in the wake of the Civil War, it changed the way we spoke of ourselves.
The United States are to the United States is, yes.
Bingo, yeah. And I really, as someone who loves his country, despite what other people might think, I don't want to go down that road again. As amicable as it could ever be, I want the United States is to be a thing long after I'm dead, even. You know?
Right. And I mean, this is just a thought exercise, a thought experiment. It's not going to happen. But when you get enough people who, because like I said, there's a dichotomy here. The 4 in 10 Biden voters are like, yeah, we're fucking sick of them. The majority of Trump voters want to split because they're mad because liberals are ruining everything because they've had a couple of generations of right wing blatherheads telling them that.
And I mean, even if we did split up, they would still. Trump and the rest of them and the Republicans on in the House and Senate, even when they win, they're moaning and complaining about one thing or another.
Yeah, they won't
even
take yes for an answer.
Even when they should be as happy as clams, they're moaning. And because we, just because of our existence, it pisses them off.
Dude, that's going to be confusing because then you'd have to have two presidents. You'd have to have two governments.
Well, no, not necessarily. The Confederacy can have a king if they want. It's up to them.
I wouldn't
want it's their that. Government.
Or a queen. No, that's not put poor Lindsay in a bad way. Don't give her the vapors now, Robin.
Up as a prick, but...
And by the way, I need to send out some thank yous. Jude wrote him in to go from the Great Northwest. Thank you, dear Jude. Kicking in support of Tracy's adventure into the inner sanctum of Latin. Just one woman supporting another. Well, more accurately, two women. Peace. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much. And thank you to Alma. Alma just jumped in, and so we have now got 105 to go on Charlene and Rogues Island's challenge. Thank you, Charlene, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans. Thank you, Charlene, so very much. And 105 to go on that. And if it's met, Charlene's going to kick in another $25. So that's a grand total of it would knock out $500 of what remains of our little fundraising goal, and I would call that a win. That would be an end-of-the-month community-made miracle. Thank you, Jude, and thank you, Elma, and thank you, Ralphs, for the challenge, and thank you, Joey and Giraffe, for the challenge, and thank you, Charlene, for the challenge.
It's 135, Robin.
Thank you. My cipher, you know, I'm ciphering on the fly here.
Yeah. Mathematician here.
Oh, okay. Well, God knows we need one.
Hey, by the way, Robin, did you see the matchup tonight?
No, which?
In the No Fun League?
No, what are they doing? Who's playing?
The Bengals and the Jaguars. It's Burrow versus, what's his face?
Two teams enter. One has to win.
Yes. What's his name? Trevor Lawrence? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The hidden son of Celine Dion.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, the one thing I loved about what Urban Meyer did, my favorite thing so far, was to cut Tim Tebow.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
He had his time. Now it's done.
Yeah, but he's back on ESPN though.
Yeah,
well, great.
But, well, great. He can wear his Bible eye black, then.
Yeah. And you know what? What the best part was, his former coach was the one who cut him.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's what I loved.
Yeah. He should know.
Yes, Scott.
Did you get my information that I emailed?
I did. I was going to say something, but yes, I did.
Okay. Carry on.
And we did see, and I know this pedantry, this sophomoric subject that I'm entering into, sports, did everyone see that apparently I think St. Louis is now, what, at 17 in a row?
No, they lost.
When did they lose?
Like in the last night, the Brew Crew beat them.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, they lost last night.
Wow. My money, I tell you, is on them going into the playoffs. I think they'll probably beat the Dodgers.
You know, one gamer? Yeah.
Yep.
Giants got their 104th win the other night.
Yeah, that's what sucks when you've got like 104 wins and you get and you, yeah. Hey, Steve, in Georgia, Stan, I didn't keep up after a while. Where did the Braves finish? Or not quite finished, but you know what I mean. Maybe Steve's gone.
He's hunting for his tooth. He's down on his hands and knees looking for that.
Yeah, I don't see him in the room.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I could ask Google, but I thought it would be more fun to ask Steve because I know Steve's a Braves fan. O's fan, too, yeah, which doesn't help. Yeah, okay. Without saying goodbye. Damn it.
He does that.
It's those pain meds.
He's mysterious that way. By the way, I have had Kurt in North Dakota on the line for a while. Are you there, Kurt?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Hold I'm on sorry, here. I'm sorry it took so long.
I had to take you off my speakerphone. I had you on my speakerphone here. Yeah, no, that's fine, Robin. No, that's fine. I enjoy listening to you guys. But I was just going to say that when you were talking about Trump here, I guarantee you, he would get North Dakota.
Yeah.
And that would be no surprise.
And you want to talk about a mess taking all the nukes away from the South or from Jesus land.
Right, right, right. Yeah, they moved them out west. I think they're out in Washington State, I think. You know, they took all the missiles out of here. But I know they moved them out west. Somewhere, but this used to be the starting point. We've all hell broke loose. Pardon me?
They still have nuclear bombs at Barksdale in Mississippi.
Oh, is that right? Oh, wow. Yeah, they used to have this. Oh, wow. Well, we have the well, you know, they're switching the base around here in Grand Forks. They're going to the AUV or, you know, the aeronautical, drones, the drones. They're kind of going to that. And then, of course, we're still a refueling, tankers in here that we have. But the drones are really, really getting big. And then, of course, you know, we had all the missiles off by Minot in that area. But then they pulled them out of there. And I think they took them out west to Washington State. Now, I'm not for sure on that. But they jerked them out of here. And, of course, you know, we were the flashpoint here in North Dakota. If all hell broke loose, you know, then I'll build the missiles.
And aren't there some old silos that have been repurposed as like beds and breakfasts and stuff?
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, there are. Yes. Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah. They have bed and breakfasts there now. So you can get bombed and have a meal before you go.
You know, back before they closed it down again, you know, they opened up the bunker for tours at the Greenbrier for a while, you know, where they were going to hide the members of Congress and stuff, and you could tour it, but it's right. Closed back down. I always wanted, I always thought it would be a great tourist draw back when it was open, to do a bunker film festival. And,
oh.
And like one night you do On the Beach, and another night you do Fail Safe, and another night you do 7 Days in May, and then the last night you do Doctor Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove, yeah. And that would be a good final.
God damn, that's a lineup.
There's some place in South Dakota that you can actually purchase
like underground, not above, you know, like upper, but it's the underground space where you basically, they thought you would probably survive. But.
Oh yeah, we're back to Dr. Strangelove, and yeah. Of course, it would be necessary that only the most desirable women would be allowed to enter the compound.
I saw a documentary like purchased them for like $35,000 or something like that.
Animals could be bred and slaughtered.
You know his name in German, right?
What?
Dr. Strangelove.
Strangliebe?
No, Dr. Merck Würdigliebe.
Wow. Würdigliebe.
Huh. I'll put it in the chat. Merck Würdig. Würdigliebe. All one word.
Würdigliebe.
Yep. Leap. Has anyone seen the show C?
No.
C?
C S E E. It's on. I think it's on Apple TV.
Oh, I have not watched it. No, the only thing we're watching on Apple TV right now is Ted Lasso.
Okay.
And we live for Ted Lasso.
My partner told me about C. It's in its second season.
Okay, stop. Whoever it is, stop slurping.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, really, stop slurping.
Sounds more like a Dremel, really.
Or just mute. Whoever it is, mute.
You're right, it does kind of sound kind of Dremel-y, doesn't it? I thought it was just somebody at the bottom of their beverage. Really wanted to get all of it.
But if you start watching it, Robin, who in the heck is
who
doing
the fuck
that?
Is that?
Yeah, who is it?
It ain't me.
Sparky?
No,
Sparky?
I think it's Ben.
I just had to jump out, jump back in. Mom's Assisted Living Center called.
Oh my, Mom, okay?
Yeah, she's fine, Robin. Thanks for asking. They're changing prescription. The people that administer her medications, they're changing companies. Just logistics stuff. Fun never stops, man.
I had a call like that today. Same ordeal.
By the way, hey, Steve, let me ask you a question. Oh, anyway, Robin, if you start, who in the hell?
It's Ben.
Ben, is that you?
No, it's not me.
It's Sparky, I think.
I hear it every now and then.
It's coming from Ben, and I just muted him.
Oh, okay. I thought. Well, I was seeing Ben's icon light up every time I heard the noise. So.
I'm not making any noise.
So, hey, guys, just wanted to say goodnight. I'm about to go There's on to the...
Okay, Tracy, you drive safe, honey. Thank you.
Be safe, Tracy.
Okay. Night, all.
Bye, Tracy. Take care.
I'll
let you guys know how the thing went with Patrice Collars.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to please do that.
What? Say that one more time?
Yes, please do.
Yes, that's what
I sent this the link in the chat just in case. I don't know. It might not work for you guys, but if it does, you know, try it.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right, babies. Bye.
Bye.
Oh,
bye-bye. Okay, real quick, Robin. If you decide to watch it, you're going to watch the first. When you get into the first season, when I started watching it, I remember saying to my partner, "I'm like, this is just not for me." And he told me, "He's like, you got to watch the first couple episodes. It's a little bit. It's very dystopian. It's a number of centuries into the future. It's a little dark. Actually, it's a lot dark, but." And maybe you won't end up liking it, but I stuck with it, and I really ended up liking it. So that's, that's that. Something else I wanted to say real quick. Phooey, I don't remember. Shit. Anyway, so anybody have any predictions on the baseball? Just real quick, and then I'm going to put on mute.
I predict they will play the game as long as they're not raining.
Go Braves.
Okay, that was my question. You were gone, and I asked a question. What's the Brave status?
Magic number. Well, they won last night, so you know they're playing the Phillies again tonight. I think that I don't really fully understand how this works. It's just when you play in the team that's you're beating head to head, you jump two games on them. Correct? If you beat them, is that incorrect?
No, the magic number goes if you beat them.
How did it go from 5-3 and now it's to 1, though, Steve?
Well, I'm gonna,
I'm confused.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Because the magic number is any combination of the team you're in front of loss and your win. So if you win,
but we're, okay.
Wait a minute.
Ahead.
You just said you're playing the team
right.
who is in second place.
That's exactly right. Explain this to me, please.
Okay.
So
when the magic number is any combination of wins for the Braves and losses for I don't know who's second.
Phillies.
Phils. Okay.
So when the Braves beat the Phillies, that is a win for the Braves and a loss for the Phillies. So it's any combination. So that's two.
Right, and it becomes additive at that point.
It becomes additive because what it means is that means the Braves are one more game ahead, and the Phillies are one more game behind, and then also have one less game to catch up.
Mm.
You see, okay. Yeah,
that's, I follow you. Yes,
yeah,
sir. Thank you. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. By the way, I want to ask you, Steve. Do you remember a story down in your neck of the woods about a daycare center where there was video of the people serving the white kids before they served the black children?
No, Steve, I don't recall that.
I was just wondering because my brother's, I think his daughter went there and they took her out. And I was just wondering if you had seen the story. I know nothing, very little. I know nothing more than I just told you about it. I was just wondering if you had seen that. So, by the way, the Cardinals won today. So, Steve, what do you think about this? I think the Cardinals are hitting their. They are clicking on all cylinders right now, but it's very typical for the Cardinals. They're very good at. They're like the. I think they like. They're like the Yankees of the National League. I think they're going to be hard to beat, and I.
Yeah, and I hate to get invested in the Braves, Steve, because they break your heart every year. It's a pattern.
Yep.
They tear it up through the year, and then they'll get eliminated by a wild card team first round.
Well, who's the wild card? It'll be St. Louis plays L.A. in that first. I think St. Louis will beat L.A. What do you think, Robin?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, St. Louis is like
unless you know, but it's a game of luck. And
but to win,
it all depends on when that game hits in what part of the rotation.
Right.
And Robin, isn't it like football that any given team can beat another given team on any given day, regardless of their win-loss ratio?
Well, you know, Keith, that's why they have to play the ball games.
There you go.
Well, that's sort of like the National Hockey League too. I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, and they always get beat out in the first round, and it never fails. And then, of course, the team that went to the Stanley Cup this year, who would have ever thought that the Montreal Canadiens, because they weren't all that great.
Yep, they were fourth.
You know, Steve,
how could you not at least love it that Lazab went there, you know?
Yeah, Lazab, yeah. right.
Who was it? Was it Tampa Bay and Montreal?
Yeah, Tampa Bay and Montreal. Now, those were the two teams in the Eastern Conference. There were no Western Conference teams at all, except for Las Vegas. But, of course, Montreal beat them, too.
And I need to interrupt just to note that at least 92% of the audience has now disappeared over our sports nerdery.
Isn't it a great nerdery, though?
Have a take and don't
it
suck.
Is. It
okay.
Really is.
Is that guy still on the air? The have a take and don't suck guy?
Have a take and don't suck?
Jim Rome.
Jim Rome, yeah.
In the box, yeah. Yeah, he's still
doing Jim Rome, yeah.
They still have the smack off every
Oh, my
every
God.
Year.
Oh,
highly
my
entertaining.
God.
Jim Rome's on CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, I used to listen to him running up and down the road.
He's not worried about the light bill, that's for sure, man.
No, it's like I was talking about Dave Ramsey earlier. Who had a super spreader event at Libertad Universita, and Brother Deacon Asa says, "I done been following Dave Ramsey for 20 plus years since he was doing Play Pretend, Daryl and his other brother Daryl Hillbilly Radio. I've even done the pilgrimage to Franklin, Tennessee, where he runs his hustle. He was a skinny little bag of sticks back then, but he's fattened up real nice on the back of Jeebus. He's worth a cool $400 million today, just sold his $12 million mansion in the area. It's a beautiful dollar."
Is Dave Ramsey the guy that's supposed to be a financial
yes.
advisor?
For Jesus. Oh,
yeah.
For Jesus. Yeah. Arnold nailed him earlier just to perfection, saying, yeah, he's the pay your bills and don't eat. Fuck him guy.
Yeah, my younger brother that I don't speak to anymore, the fascist, is a big fan of Dave Ramsey.
Hey, Robin, did you have experience with that whole prosperity stuff when you were growing up?
It really hadn't come along yet. I mean, the Southern Baptist Church was not that. Jerry Falwell was the serpent in the garden where the Southern Baptist Church was concerned. It's always been deeply conflicted. The Southern Baptist Church was founded because of racism and segregationism, but back then they were decidedly apolitical. When I was a kid, they were just creepy. They were nonetheless creepy and scary and elitist and awful. But the prosperity gospel crap.
Roberts. Then.
Yes, it's Pentecostal seed faith. Seed faith.
Yeah, Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts.
But it all became it's marketing, and it all became just irresistible to everybody. But the person who changes the Southern Baptist Convention is Jerry fucking Falwell. He was the serpent in the garden. And because he
don't believe he was Southern Baptist, Robin.
Yes,
he was independent.
No, he was Southern Baptist.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Libertad University, I believe, is Southern Baptist, right?
I'm not sure if it's directly affiliated, but Falwell had a tremendous impact on the Southern Baptist Church.
Can I ask you a question?
So what was the king of all scammers, Jimmy Swaggart?
Oh, he's independent. He probably comes out of the Church of God or something.
Yeah. But, hey, Robin, my understanding is that the Southern Baptist, it wasn't just apolitical, it was almost anti-political.
It was. It was y'all stay out of our church and we'll stay out of your politics.
It was almost Jehovah Witness-like.
No. No, they were just more concerned with the next life than they were with this one. You know, we don't want you dancing, and we don't want you playing that demon rock and roll, and we don't want no black folks in our churches, and you're going to hell if you don't do exactly what the preacher says, and for God's sakes, don't speak to each other in the liquor store. And in point of fact, in the county where I grew up, I've said this before, every so often, I grew up in a dry county, and every so often, there would be a ballot referendum in Lauderdale County, Alabama, to go wet, so that the deacons could have a fucking beer. And I mean, I knew I was friends with kids whose parents were deacons, and there was beer in their fridge. And I was like, what? And every so often there would be a referendum to allow the sale of alcohol in Lauderdale County, Alabama. And the churches would fund, well, no, the churches would front, I'm sorry, I was getting it backwards. The churches would front the Lauderdale Citizens for Decency and Morality, and the bootleggers would fund it. And you got to understand, bootlegger means something in a dry county that it doesn't mean somewhere else. there's a lot of places that, oh, I got me some bootleg liquor. Well, that means that it's some moonshine that's been run through the coil of a 1944, and if you set it on fire, it burns green and red and orange and everything but blue. I remember my grandmother being in a hospital one time, and down the hall, and it was such a story. It was an inspiring story. There was a young man who had to have his stomach replaced because it had done been et up by bad moonshine.
Well, that's all tied into the racing cars back at the origin of
right, and that's moonshine. But in a wet county or a dry county where I grew up, dry meant no legal sales of any kind of alcohol, and a bootlegger was a somewhat outside the law yet entirely moral purveyor of liquor from some other state. In this case, Tennessee.
Oh, he's a good old boy. Be nice to him.
Right. And so they made tons of money. They were just, sort of off the economy liquor sales people. And everybody knew who they were. There was two of them. And one of them's phone number was one digit different from ours.
Oh, dear.
And every now and then, if he wasn't at work, my dad would pick up the phone and they'd say, "Now tell him the cops are coming, okay? All right." And my dad would be like, wait. And you'd read the next day, so-and-so busted for illegal alcohol in surprise raid, and be like, the cops show up, and they're like, you're supposed to have all this shit put away. The call came through. I didn't get no call. What? Somebody answered it, and there's my dad reading the Florence Times Tricycle Daily going, hey, 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 hey.
Okay, Robin, you're writing a book, right? These are stories for a book that these are.
Oh, yeah, while I was down there not long back, I had a conversation with a dear friend, and I said, "Did you ever go to so-and-so?" And she said, "Only every day of my life." Because, I'd go to work at the Gospel Voice, and I'd stop by their house, this individual. She's long since gone, but I don't want to besmirch her memory. She was lovely. And sometimes, if I had enough time, they'd invite you in for dinner if they thought you looked hungry. But I'd stop and I'd pick up a little half pint of Jack or a little half pint, because it brought the little ones and the big ones and the fifths. And the beauty of it all, the prices were deliriously inflated, but it was not inflated by taxation. And Alabamians hate taxation. Never mind the representation. This was just taxation without a fucking chaser.
That was good. You get a cowbell, please.
Well, thank you.
Taxation without a chaser.
because that was the only way I could get through a 5-hour radio shift playing the Chuck Wagon Gang and Squire Parsons and Drop Kick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life, and of course Jesus, This Is Jimmy.
Down the well, Jimmy?
No, Jesus, this is... Look it up, Scott. I played it on the show before. I'm not going to play it again. It's horrifying.
Or was that Timmy that was down the well?
Timmy's down the well. Lassie goes in.
Timmy,
yeah, right.
Okay.
No, Jesus, okay. This is... Jimmy gets hit by a bus.
Okay. Oh, dear. Poor Jimmy.
Day follows night. Night follows day. This old world is slipping away. No, see, I can't remember the quadratic equation, but I can remember the beginning of Jesus, This Is Jimmy. There's no justice in this world.
Oh,
now, 409.
That had to be a tough gig, man.
Oh, it was rough, Steve. It was rough.
Sovine or something like that.
Red Sovine. Come on back and talk to Teddy Bear. But that was not Christian.
Yeah, I was just going to say Teddy Bear. Yeah.
That was not Christian music. We didn't play unchristian music. We played the Happy
Don't
Fucking Goodman Family.
Red.
Wait a
Don't
minute.
Don't say that about Red. His heart was right with the Lord deep down.
Well, right. What? Wait. Did you just say the Happy
Fucking Goodman Family?
Oh, happy goodness.
Has anyone ever seen them?
Is pound for pound, they're the best goddamn gospel group there ever was.
Damn right. Pound.
But is it me, or is that that there is serious creep factor with those people?
Oh, like the happy. Entire Christian music industry. But, you know, here's the thing, though. Every Christmas, it's a Malloy tradition. He plays "O Holy Nightmare." Any Malloy listener knows the Christmas show includes the playing of "O Holy Nightmare."
Right.
Yeah, there's Roger showing off with the damn quadratic equation.
I was going to say x equals negative b. Plus
stop!
Not
don't even. But that piece that Malloy plays is actually. It was actually deliberate. It was a, you know, there's a lot of Christian music publishing and a lot of Christian recording in Nashville, and this guy was really a pro at what he did, and he wanted to try, as a vocalist, he wanted to try to make the most awful recording. And they were just screwing around in the studio, and somebody kept a tape, and it kind of made the rounds of people and got out, and so...
It's like the Casey Kasem dead dog dedication.
Oh, what? Okay. Tracy remarked on it, and we're at the end of the program. I am remiss in a cowbell. That's because Tom and Sonny San Rafael said, "How come no cowbell for Steve for I Am What I Eat?" That was a spit take. The historical record has now been corrected with a cowbell. Thank you for the reminder, Tom. Did you spin the White family? Dave number 11 wants to know. Them Whites is good. I'm trying to remember. We had some very early Amy Grant. Well, that was some sappy shit. The Happy Goodmans are just so.
Do you thrilled. Have any of those tapes?
No, I wasn't.
Robin,
I wasn't air checking back in the day. No.
I see. Okay.
I didn't want to hear it again. I just tried not to make too many mistakes.
Oh, come on. Come on, be a sport, Robin.
No. They do not exist unless my boss or my insane program director was hanging on to them in case there ever needed to be a prosecution.
One of the professional hazards at gospel radio stations is the holes in the records. Keep healing miraculously.
Yeah, exactly. You have no idea. Yeah, try to put it on the spindle of that old QRK.
Mm-mm. The hole has healed.
Yeah, where's the? Yeah. Well, that's a problem I would later have.
Where's your hole? I mean, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So could I just say a thanks to Scott over there in San Diego? I wanted to thank him for mentioning a program on your. On your program, I'll tell you, I've been sort of avoiding all the news here for most of the summer, and I've been sort of taking a hiatus. But Scott mentioned a program that he likes to listen to this podcast, and it was the Stu's show. And I've been busy listening to some of those shows over the summer here, and I just wanted to thank Scott for. You know, for mentioning that program. And that program is a hoot. I got a pickup. Stu's Showstack.
Oh, yeah. He's great. Stu's a
yes, yes. Right. No, I've been sort of like, catching up on some of his archives there. And what a hoot. That show is.
Yeah.
And it really gets hyped up.
Well, I'm glad I helped you discover that show. If you're into classic television,
yes.
Every Wednesday, it's a great little enterprise.
Oh, it is. It really is. Yes. But I just wanted to thank you for that because I wouldn't have known anything about this guy.
Well, I live to serve. If I don't have it, you don't need to begin with.
Well, Scott, you
sorry about that, guys.
Star Trek reference for the night.
Pardon me? I missed that.
Please. I said you just managed to sneak in a Star Trek reference for the night, too, with the Enterprise.
Ah, okay. Well, I didn't mean to. Honest, I didn't. Another thing on Epics is a documentary series. I think it's on Sunday nights called Fiasco. This series, this season, they're doing Iran-Contra. And they're only like two shows into the series, so you can catch up on the app. It's pretty good.
It's a hoax.
Okay. Well, the movie Fargo, I don't know who it was that mentioned it. I think it was Scott from... Yeah. Well, I was just going to tell you that...
Chances are I made it.
Oh, okay. Well, you mentioned Fargo, but I was just going to mention that Fargo, that movie Fargo back in 96, was filmed here in Grand Forks. Parts of it were, I should say. And they even had a casting call here at that time. And my girlfriend at the time, she was a waitress at one of the Mexican restaurants here. She wanted me to go in for the casting call because what they wanted extras for the movie when they were filming here. But I never did. I thought, no, God, if they take one look at me, the camera will break or some dumb thing. A crane will fall on me or something. So I just...
What, is your last name Macbeth?
No, not quite.
Well, listen, y'all, I gotta wrap things up. It's been a wonderful conversation. I expected it would be. The front porch never lets, never brings anything but its A game. And I just had a note from Charlene checking to see how we're doing on her challenge. There's $105 to go on it. Hopefully, it will not go by the boards. We'll finish close to good for this month of September. That having been said, it's time to wrap up because I've got to do the upload, and again, I have to be up at some crazy ass hour. Well, 5. I got to be up at 5, and that's a crazy ass hour in the morning for me. I'm not a morning person. But thank you, each and every one of you who makes this program possible with your partial sponsorships and your kind contributions. Thanks to all of our PayPal and Patreon contributors, our a la carte contributors during the live program, and among the overnight crew. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky and Steve, in the chat room and in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves for this Thorn in the Front Porch Thursday. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Now a proud union shop, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives with everything else going on. By the way, President Biden has signed the debt ceiling extension, so we're good till December. What a way to run a country. It's no way to run a railroad. But it'd be a good time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives, since they're bored and have nothing to do now, and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It really does mean the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. So stay safe. I'm planning on getting my booster maybe tomorrow, because I'm eligible as of tomorrow. And I really want it. Get your booster. If you haven't gotten your vaccine, get that first. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. You know the drill. Use your hand sanitizer frequently. And, well, maintain your social distance, wear your mask, and for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "Well, I've never been a liberal," avoid that asshole like the plague, because he is. Later.